much about. Did you know that Democrats murder thousands of babies every year? And sometimes babies are put back into the womb just so that they can be aborted again?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Let me ask you something real that millions of Americans are thinking about, you know, wondering about you. Do you like teenage girls?
When you say teenage, how are we talking?
Before you go, there's one thing you need to know, and that's I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC, and we're doing a story on adults who meet kids on the internet for sex. So if there's anything else you'd like to tell us, we'd like to hear it. If not, you can walk out the door you came in.
Come on!
Man cannon.
If I even think about a girl that hot, I get the most unbelievable dry mouth. I mean, just picturing her beautiful eyes and her cute...
And now...
Okay, well, let's find the old gang, get this party started.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show, and it is a Wednesday morning.
What's up, party people?
Hey, Bean.
Hey, Bean.
Hey, Lisa.
How are you?
How's it going?
Good.
Good. Hey, yeah, it is a new show. We have many things to tell you about today. This is interesting as a follow-up to the story that we did yesterday about online brides. Remember we were talking about the guys who go to other countries and they go on these romance tours?
Yep. Or marriage tours, some of them are called.
Yeah. Some of them are marriage tours. Yeah, you go and you meet hundreds of foreign women who are desperate for a green card to move to America. And you were talking about what big fat losers they were.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, yeah.
This is interesting that this story would come out the next day because I think this is even more of a loser than going to another country to find a bride.
Right.
This is a new service that is being offered. They haven't started doing the work yet, but they are signing people up to be the first to able to use their service. You can now get a cloud girlfriend. In other words, on your Facebook page.
Clown?
Cloud.
Oh, cloud.
On your Facebook page, you will have somebody who will be your girlfriend. And it's a company that you go to, and it doesn't say there aren't many details yet, but I assume it's a service that you pay for every month. And somebody will, you'll get a photo, somebody will post on your page about how awesome you are, and can they interact with you and your
You're
friends.
You're kidding me.
And this is my favorite part, by the way, is they say that all that work is going to be done by a girl, a woman, who is an employee of that company, and you know it's going to be nothing but dudes, right?
Right.
They're going to be playing your girlfriend.
Of course.
But it's a virtual dream come true cloud girlfriend. The PR says they will create the perfect girlfriend for you, but you never have to deal with her in real life. The virtual girlfriend exists to make you look good and will be managed by a human being. The girlfriend is operated by a real girl. It is not a sex chat or pornography service. So apparently it's going to be something that you can use in Facebook and in Twitter. A virtual girlfriend can be just like having a real long-distance girlfriend without the hassles.
That's pathetic.
So I think that's a step below because at least with, the guys we were talking about yesterday, at least there's the potential to get laid, right?
Yeah, this is entirely fake. But you know what? I heard a thing yesterday on my way home. I heard a news report and it was, I couldn't even get my head around it, but apparently there's something now called Facebook depression that they're treating people for.
What is that?
Well, it kind of makes sense when you hear it. It's somebody else has... got my boyfriend better pictures of so-and-so,
Kat and I went through that. We actually went through that. There's someone that's on our Facebook who all the time is like at some hotel, at a beautiful party, and then is at a club.
Right.
And like never. And I said, my life is crap.
Right, right, right.
And she said, me too. I can't read it anymore.
This is a phenomenon that they say happens mostly to younger people because, they're the ones on Facebook.
Right.
And you always have the one-upmanship people who, whatever your story is, they have a better one.
Right.
Whatever your picture is, they have better pictures, that kind of thing. Or
took
your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, and it's called Facebook depression.
Facebook depression.
And that's why this is awesome, because now you could have a virtual girlfriend. So if you don't look so good on your Facebook, you could pump it up with a fake girlfriend.
That's right. That totally makes sense that there would be a need for something like this. And I'm surprised at this point that there's not also a cloud boyfriend, because it seems like women would just as much want to pretend to have a hot boyfriend if they don't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I would imagine that service you're talking about has both, no?
No, not yet. Oh. But who knows? Maybe they will down the road. Yeah, I heard that story you're talking about the Facebook depression. And they interview all these people and they say, yeah, I get really depressed if I log on and nobody has put anything up on my wall. Nobody has commented on any of my stuff. Or when I sit down to update my Facebook and I realize I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything new to do. I haven't been anywhere. Right. I haven't done anything. I haven't seen anyone. And I just realize that because they look at the Facebook page as that is a snapshot of where my life is right now.
Right.
And if it's not going well online, it's not going well in real life. But Cloud Girlfriend, that may be the answer right
How
there
about
for
that.
She can be just as hot as you want, too.
I wonder if you have to pay, right? I wonder if you pay extra, you can get a model.
I don't know.
That'd be so
there's,
cool.
There's so many details. I mean, I'm tempted. We should have Dave or somebody sign up and see how it goes. You know, somebody
that's
who's
awesome.
Yeah,
heavy
that's
into
a great
Facebook
idea.
And see what the service is all about. And I wonder, I mean, if they're going to give you a girlfriend, they have to give you photos. And what about those girls? What are those real life girls that are out there now? They're going to be all over all these Facebook pages as somebody's girlfriend, you know? Because not everybody gets their own girl, right?
No, I imagine they do multiple ones, yeah.
They probably have a stock girl who's pages.
That's your virtual girlfriend? That's my virtual girlfriend. This is bogus.
Well, if you want to check it out, just do a Google search for Cloud Girlfriend, and their site will come up. And right
That's
now, the site
best.
Is pretty bare bones. It's just enter your email address. We're signing up people now for the service. It's starting soon, and we'll get back to you. So it'd be
That's
cool
the
to
best. And, and the other depression was the Twitter depression because of followers. They get all depressed. Kids get depressed because they don't have as many followers as somebody else.
Oh, that's so sad.
Oh, my God. This is just pathetic.
Oh,
it's pathetic
man.
On every level.
I've found that the way to get followers, by the way, is to have something interesting to say that people want to read.
That's helpful. But yeah. I've also found that it really doesn't matter how many followers you have, so don't look at that stat.
Right.
Everything will be cool. So anyway, we're going to have to get into that a little bit. Maybe we could talk to one of the girls who's doing that. And by the way, I would bet that this happened before they're starting this business just with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you want me to? I'll act like it if you want, and we'll take some pictures together. We'll go to Vegas.
Maybe.
So I imagine people are doing that for other people just so that they look good.
I am increasingly in the minority the longer I don't have Facebook, by the way. I don't think you use it much either. Do you, Kevin?
I haven't. I don't use it much.
Yeah. Over 50% of Americans are on Facebook now.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That doesn't surprise me that the number is that high. But and because I imagine it's people who are so unbelievably bored at work, that would be a great outlet, you know, to do that. Mm-hmm. Like we can't do that here while we're working because we're planning on screwing up the next break. However, you know, whatever that takes. But I imagine there are people just sitting at their desk and they don't have anything to do. Maybe receptionists or something, and that's their lifeline. That and YouTube.
You'd rather trade jokes with your friends than think about what you should be doing.
That and YouTube. You would think that's where a lot of that comes from. But I have Facebook, but I just don't keep up with it. And
right.
You have to lower people's expectations, so they don't know how often I go there.
Right.
But there's I have hundreds of friends requests, and I just never look at them. That just makes it easier on me. I don't want to be found. That's my thing. I just want to disappear and go away. I just want people. I don't want people to know where I am or what I'm doing. Because usually I could get arrested. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You strike me as someone I wouldn't enjoy, but others might.
That's correct. On today's program, we have to talk about Dancing with the Stars for the last time.
I will tell you, and I guess it's not a spoiler alert anymore because it's on you if you haven't seen it yet and saw the bad news about our friend Psycho Mike. I will tell you that as sad as I am for Mike and as graceful as his exit was, I couldn't be happier to not have to watch that show anymore.
Oh, me too. I was like, oh, thank God.
The very first thing I did was delete that that setup on my TiVo. Yeah, that was the first thing I did. All right, take that off season pass. See you, Dancing with the Stars. Bye bye.
Did you see after they kicked him off, they let him dance a little bit?
Yes,
he did.
Yes.
Several of the dances that we worked on.
He sure did. I thought of you when he was out there doing the Gravedigger.
He did the Gravedigger.
That's Kevin right there.
He did the Tarmac. I'm gonna have to
sure
go through
did.
The video and identify them correctly, but. He did the Hito Rick, which he was very, I think he was more excited about that than anything. And I texted him last night. I was like, you are my hero. You just did the Gravedigger on TV.
No, so, that dance was awesome that he did at the end, by the way.
And they were nervous and they cut away from him a couple times.
Have you ever seen a guy look like he was having a better time being fired?
No. A, no. And B, he, that's,
Psycho Mike is a super competitive guy. And basically, he went in there and just got punched in the teeth each week. Just kicked right in the head.
Yeah.
He showed up for a job. Every single time he showed up, everybody told him how bad he was at it.
Right. And he knew it. But it's still difficult if you're competitive. But he really, I thought, showed a lot of...
He comported himself well.
I don't know what that means, but I'm sure it's what I'm talking about.
He was very classy. He was very professional. I think he represented well.
He was on the Jimmy Kimmel show last night.
Yeah. He's going to be fine. Mike is going to be fine. Yeah. This is not the end of the road for Mike.
I have no question about it. It is for Dancing with the Stars, but that, you know what? He's bound for other things,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, of course.
So anyway, he was on Kimmel last night. We brought in highlights of that, and then I guess he's going to be on Good Morning America today.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Oh,
what's
my
he going to do there?
God.
I hope he busts out a window in the dressing room.
I told him. Remember, he said, I'm going to try and make a Chris Brown joke because Chris Brown was on Dancing with the Stars last night. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote to him. I was like, look, if you're going to do something with Chris Brown, you need to do it at Good Morning America, which is where Chris Brown did it. I was like, you should act like you don't know what you're talking about, but say thanks for the dressing room with the open window. You know, and act like you don't know where it came from. That would be perfect.
I think it'd be hilarious if he busted out a window, by the way. I really do.
Oh, me too. That'd be the best. So anyway, we'll talk about that coming up this morning. We also have a brand new internet roundup for you. We have a little problem with Dave, as he put a stupid wombat video on it. Did you see that, Bean?
No.
He does love the wombats.
Yeah,
you know
I know, but he represents us with the internet roundups, just like the bell. It's not just yours. It represents all of us.
Dave has been trying hard to get Dave's Cute Corner, both spelled with K's, off the ground. And I think this is his way of getting that going, is by slowly introducing cute animal videos into the roundups.
Yeah, but most of the cute animal videos, there's something there. You know what I mean? There's it's interesting for some reason. And so he puts it in because of that. This stupid wombat video that he put up just is a wombat just walking around. So I just wrote back. I was like, take that out of the internet roundup or you're fired.
Oh.
I was like, you've got to be kidding me. But I'm guessing, knowing Dave, that he put that up just so to see if we were paying attention. So anyway, we got a new internet roundup for you. We have comedian Jim Jefferies in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
He, of course, is one of our comedians for April Foolishness this weekend. We have your tickets for April Foolishness right up front in the fancy schmancy section.
Awesome.
Bad birthday gifts, completely unrelated.
How dare you?
Completely unrelated to Bean's birthday gift for me. And we also have Brock Lesnar, a little wisp of a guy named Brock Lesnar, who's like 6'9", 400 pounds of nothing but muscle. And the debut of Ultimate Fighter is tonight. He's one of the coaches. So we're going to talk to him about that as well, coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman, when are you going on Dancing with the Stars?
Never.
Good
really?
Call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like a nice high-profile appearance on television.
Bean, take it down.
Yeah,
man.
So is Cops. But I don't want to be tased in my backyard in a wife beater either. I mean, sometimes it's not worth saying. Doing anything to be on television. Sometimes you have to know your limitations and... And very early in my career, a very wise man said to me, sometimes your career is defined more by what you say no to than what you say yes to.
But isn't that out the window once you agree to be on the Kevin and Bean Show, though? I mean, clearly at this point, your reputation has been damaged.
No, because no one listens to this show. So
I can
make a living and move along with no one really noticing. I can fly under the radar here.
High profile is the key here. That's the
Kevin and Bean Show is like the bartending job of radio. You know, it's you can just do it and make a living while you're... You know, trying to get other things going.
And no one notices.
Exactly. Yeah. No one pays attention, so it's great.
Okay. All right. Well, we settled that then. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a new Kevin and Bean Show here for a Wednesday. What's going on?
You guys aware of this court case in Italy with the Italian prime minister?
Oh, it's great, isn't it? Juicy stuff.
Silvio Berlusconi is the prime minister of Italy. He is looking at prostitution charges. There's an upcoming prostitution trial that he paid a 17-year-old Moroccan girl for sex.
17?
Yeah.
Is that legal?
I don't know what the
in
age...
In Italy or in...
I don't know what the statute of limitations is of... or the age, rather, statutory rape age in that country is. We'll have to look into that. But
she doesn't look 17, though, I'll tell you that.
I do know that George Clooney is being asked to testify at the trial.
What?
Yeah. I'd want him to testify at my trial, too.
Because
he didn't
he
know
hangs
me.
Out
I would just want him to be there.
He hangs out with the prime minister?
Yeah, they party together because, wow. You know, George's got that place in Lake Como. So the girl claims that she saw Clooney and his girlfriend, Elisabetta Canalis, at one of Berlusconi's parties, and that they may have some information regarding whether or not the prime minister paid this young lady for sex or not.
And this is interesting, too, because, I mean, they had a relationship. She's been around, you know, with the prime minister for months now. Like, it was his girlfriend kind of deal. But
is he married, or?
I don't know.
I don't remember if he is or not.
Prostitution thing?
I don't know.
It's juicy, though. It kind of makes our American presidential sex scandals look tame.
Well, you know, we don't pay for it. We don't pay for it. Americans just bang the interns or whatever. You know, if you're the president, right. You have to actually pay for it. Speaking of paying for things, Charlie Sheen may be having a hard time getting a hotel room on tour.
What?
You know, he's got dates at Radio City Music Hall in New York City.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. According to the New York Post, all the high-end Manhattan hotels have blacklisted him from their hotels since his little stint at the Plaza, where he tore the place up and locked a hooker in the bathroom, and she had to call 911. A lot of the hotels in Manhattan are like, you know what, we don't really need the hassle.
That's awesome. It's falling apart piece by piece.
According to the New York Post, management at a number of the hotels says they don't want the drama.
Clearly someone who believes he is above the law.
He says, we don't want his 30-person entourage, his goddesses in tow, and his severe nicotine habit. You know, all the hotels in New York now are non-smoking. Charlie pays no attention to those laws.
I can imagine
what you have to... The cleaning bill alone, whatever suite he's in, must be enormous. So, apparently they're not interested. Maybe you can stay with
if
Donald Trump.
If you do
Trump.
The crime, you gotta do the time.
Stay with Donald Trump or Gary Busey or somebody.
There you go.
Speaking of the Buse, why isn't he on our show?
He was scheduled for Monday, and he's still scheduled for this coming Monday.
Why isn't he scheduled for every day on
our
show?
I agree. I'm down with that.
He tells Star Magazine that he is, this is my favorite quote, I may have to go tweet this, because that's how I want to live my life.
Wow.
He says, my imagination is living a full and wonderful life with rainbows and colors and a freedom which I had not known.
Okay.
They also
what's that mean?
I don't know. I have no idea what it means, but it sounds wonderful. It sounds like it's where unicorns live.
By the way, he tweets to Gary Busey, and
you
can't figure out. You go, what does that mean to every?
No, you don't. You go, that is the most profound thing I've ever read.
That's what I meant.
Just let it wash. You're on the same drugs that Gary Busey is.
That's
then.
What I meant. I wish. Star also has a list of Buseyisms. You know how he takes a word and breaks it down into its letters and then tells you what it stands for.
Yeah.
Some of my favorites: sober. S-O-B-E-R, son of a bitch, everything's real. Fun, F-U-N, family understanding nothing.
What? Has nothing to do
I
with?
I have no idea.
Fun.
No. Fear, false evidence appearing real.
Okay.
See, that's what fear is.
These are things,
man,
that he's actually said on TV or wherever.
Yeah. Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Okay, that one at least makes sense.
Yeah.
Doubt, debate on understanding bewildersome thoughts.
How did he ever come up with this? Have you ever heard anyone else do this?
No.
So bizarre.
How much time does he sit at home with a pen and pencil and just start knocking these out, like every word in the dictionary?
I'm amazed that he gets through them. When he's on Celebrity Apprentice and he tried to do freedom the other night, I thought, that's an awfully long word to keep all those straight. But he did it. He got through it.
He rattles them off.
Yep.
Romance. That's a big word. R-O-M-A-N-C-E. Relying on magnificent and necessary compatible energy.
That's romance.
That is romance.
Sure.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
I love me Gary Busey more than anything on this earth.
Me too.
I hope he does come in on Monday. That'd be a lot of fun to hang out with the Buse.
Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I got some tickets to give away. Passes to the advanced screening of Hannah. Special Kevin and Bean advance screening at the ArcLight Theater in Hollywood on Thursday, April the 7th. If you'd like to see the new action-adventure film with Eric Bana and Cate Blanchett, how about calling right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two listeners who get through get a pair of passes to attend. Don't worry if you don't win, though, because it's in theaters the next day, everywhere on Friday the 8th. You can check it out. You can also go to krock.com for another chance to win if you didn't get through on the phones. Today's celebrity birthdays, Warren Beatty, 74 years old today.
Does he act anymore, Ralph?
No.
Retired.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish he'd direct. He doesn't even have to act. He's a real good director, too. I'd like to see him work again. Musician Eric Clapton is 66 years old today. Actor Paul Reiser, who has a new TV series in the works, he is 54. MC Hammer, Hammer Time, he's 48. Ian Ziering from 90210 is 47 years old today. CNN host Piers Morgan is 46. Celine Dion is 43 years old today. And singer Nora Jones celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Funny man Jim Jefferies on the show today. He, of course, one of the stars for Kevin and Bean's third annual April Foolishness happening this Saturday night. And we're going to give you tickets up close in the fancy schmancy section. Also, Brock Lesnar on the show. But first,
Sugar Ray and Anna, Mike and Lacey on this first result show. The couple with the lowest overall combined total and therefore leaving right now is...
I wish they'd make you wait longer. I wish the pause was longer between the parts of the announcement.
Mike and Lacey.
And that's how it ended for our little friend Psycho Mike on ABC's Dancing with the Stars last night. And as we were saying earlier, we're sad for Mike, so happy we don't have to watch that goddamn show anymore. Hey, Mike, how are you, buddy?
All things considered, I'm doing pretty good.
You're my hero.
Why is that?
Because you did the Gravedigger. After you got kicked off, Mike did the Gravedigger, and he did the Hedo Rick dance. I think I saw a little tarmac.
Yep.
Oh, I was so happy. I was jumping up and down like, woo!
What are the instructions, Mike, after you are eliminated? You joked about this with us yesterday, that you were afraid they were going to make you dance again after you already have been proven to be such a bad dancer, they're asking you to leave the show. But you didn't recreate either of the previous dances that you'd done. You were able to just freestyle. Is that what they expected from you?
Well, no. They expect you to freestyle in a, like, classy fashion. They expect you to show, I guess, some reverence for the show with your, 20 seconds of play-out dancing. And the reason why I love my dancing partner, Lacey Schwimmer, is because as soon as they said, okay, now's your time to freestyle dance, she looks over at me and she says the words, Keto. I said, no problemo.
That was so awesome. And by the way, we're talking to Psycho Mike. After he got kicked off Dancing with the Stars last night, he started doing those dances. And you couldn't tell, obviously, Mike, but ABC was so uncomfortable with this because they didn't know where it was going. And you started doing the Siberian pelvic thrust, I think, for a second. And they cut away from you as quickly as they could back to the hosts. And then they thought, well, let's go back to Mike for a second, but let's keep our hand on the button.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be, like, uncomfortable television. Like, I know it was funny for you guys, but all in all, that looked like it was about 30 seconds or something, which is an eternity if you think about it.
It was
a long time.
Jumping up and down and cheering. I was like, this is the best thing ever.
And it's live, too. You don't put Psycho Mike on live television, ever. People, listen to me. You're taking your license into your hands if you give Mike the opportunity to point at his crotch, because he'll do it.
Yeah, no. I mean, I figured that was really my only opportunity to, like, highlight the pelvic girdle, so
sure.
I might as well go for it.
Mike, here's the other thing that I wanted to say is that I got to tell you, it really takes guts to be as competitive as you are. To go on a show where you're doing, let's face it, you're not a dancer. You've admitted that many times. It's a little embarrassing. And then you got kicked off first, and that's embarrassing because you just stand there and wait with a smile on your face, and then they tell you you're gone, and then you have to talk to all the press about being the worst dancer, and you really stepped up, and you seemed to handle that really well, and that would crush most people.
Well, thank you, dude. I appreciate it. And, I mean, look, anybody who gets on here and says, like, oh, no, I feel fine about being eliminated first, it's totally BSing. I mean, it takes you, you're used to take the blow and all. But if anything, the main positive thing that I took away from the show was that I can at least have the gratification of knowing I did tackle something pretty embarrassing and overwhelming, you know?
Right, right. Now, I have to ask, and I don't know, maybe there's no way you can answer this honestly for whatever reason, but you did have sex with Lacey Schwimmer, right? I mean, please tell me that happened, because clearly she's into you, and clearly you're into her.
Mike's afraid of her. I can answer that. Mike is scared to death of Lacey.
Yeah, and it's so weird having this conversation. She's 4 feet away from me. We're at LAX right now.
Say it then. So, say, yeah, I had sex with Lacey.
Yeah, it was the best 22 seconds she ever had.
So tell me how it works. You told us yesterday that you're on a whirlwind press tour if you were eliminated, and that is the case. You've already taped an appearance or done it live to the East Coast for Good Morning America that we'll see later on today, right? That's already happened?
Yeah, I just finished doing it.
Okay. And then what happens now? Why are you going to New York?
I get to be on Regent Kelly.
Are you hosting?
No. Oh. They have all the eliminated members of Dance with the Stars as well. I am lucky enough to go back and host again in 10 days. But this time it's just for being a guest and to talk about Dance with the Stars. Then, other ABC, I think I'm actually doing Wendy Williams' show.
What?
Oh, my God. No. Who ever thought that would be ever happening? Come on.
I know. It's kind of crazy. But
it's funny that somebody who's actually a worse dancer than you is still on the competition, and you have to go be on her show.
Yeah, I wonder how we're going to deal with that, with Lacey and I sitting on Wendy Williams' couch, and she looks over and says, like, so, you had to see the writing on the wall because you were, in the lowest of all the scoring, and you clearly weren't one of the good, good dancers on the show. I'd be like, much like you, Wendy.
And it was so bizarre because, like we said, like, that's not a show we normally watch, and when they said Wendy Williams is safe, I was outraged. I was like, what?
Yeah, I was too.
Was all kinds of wrong.
I was too. All right. So Psycho Mike, I mean, like Kevin said, it looks like you handled it well. You kind of did know it was coming, but you're going to be fine. And I know you've got a lot of other irons in the fire right now. But why don't you just admit for the Kevin and Bean listeners right now so they don't have to hear it from us. You're never coming back to this show, right? You are done. We are dust. We're looking at your taillights right now, right?
I'm sorry, my high-powered PR and publicist people won't allow me to answer those type of questions on the air.
Wow, I didn't know you had those people.
Oh yes, I mean it's a collection of finely manicured Jewish people that I have to talk to.
How did Dr. Drew take the news? I know that at least he, unlike anyone on the Kevin and Bean show except for Dave, at least came down to support you in person.
I don't know how or why, but Lacey and I were just talking about this. Dr. Drew somehow turned into the biggest meathead in the world over Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, he was.
He just wants to beat people up. Like, he just is threatening to beat people up because I got voted off of Dancing with the Stars.
Well, it was ridiculous. Here's the hard part is that it's not ridiculous because you weren't that good. But it is ridiculous that Wendy Williams wasn't at least in the bottom two. I mean, once they went with Sugar Ray, I was like, hey, I like that song every morning, and I voted for them. I didn't even realize they were on the show.
Kevin, it's the guy Sugar Ray, the boxer, not the band.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. Kevin wasn't really paying attention. All right, I know we only have a minute left, and you're going for a plane here, Mike, but I have to ask, after the show, as you told us yesterday, you head on over to the Kimmel set, and you were his guest last night, which was very odd for us to be watching one guy that used to work on the Kevin and Bean show interview another guy who used to work on the Kevin and Bean show.
We had a new episode of Dancing with the Stars tonight. Our first contestant of the season has been thrown into the volcano, Psycho Mike Catherwood, who somehow managed to overcome not being a dancer or a star to earn a spot on the roster. I think that's admirable.
Did you get to meet Britney Spears, who was the musical guest last night?
Not really. I mean, Lacey and I were lucky enough to go on stage, like right next to her as she performed. And but we didn't get any FaceTime. She was just so surrounded and inundated with entourage and
sure.
stuff and security.
Wait, the cast of Entourage was there? That's cool.
Oh, silly.
All right, Mike. Well, I'm sure you guys didn't get much sleep last night, you and Lacey, together. And I guess maybe that's what's next for you is get on that plane, get some sleep, and head to New York. But please keep in touch and let us know what's up, dude.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. And like I've said from the beginning, thanks so much for all the support and to all the listeners, too. It's just been overwhelming how touching it's been and heartwarming it's been to see all the support.
Hey, we're proud of you, man. I'm serious. None of us could have done even as well as you did. So you get thumbs up all around from where you used to work at the Kevin and Bean Show. Have a great flight, dude.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye now.
So I took a little bit of heat yesterday when it was revealed on air what I got Kevin for his birthday. I thought I was doing a nice thing that he would appreciate, but it turned out I am now in the category of bad birthday gifts.
No, this has nothing to do with that.
Oh, I see. Nothing to do. Just by coincidence, that's what we're talking about is bad birthday gifts today?
We've had that scheduled since a week ago.
Uh-huh.
You know that.
So yesterday was Kevin's birthday. He's a tough guy to buy for. And he also, I happen to know, having known him for many, many years, is a guy who is very involved in charity and likes to help those less fortunate. So I made a donation, a sizable donation.
Absolutely.
In Kevin's name to the people of Japan, to the American Red Cross to assist with the earthquake and tsunami victims, right? And I thought, you know, Kevin is a guy, he's a lucky guy. He's got everything he needs. He doesn't need, you know, any dumb gift. I thought this is something that'd be a good birthday gift.
Always need a dumb gift. But second of all, you're right on everything else.
I got railed, though, railed, particularly by Ralph Garabit, and then right after it went on the air by about 25,000 of our listeners. How bogus it was, and how it wasn't a gift, and it's the worst birthday gift they ever heard, and why did I just flush the money down the toilet, and blah, 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 blah. So that's why we thought, hey, you know, there must be something worse out there that somebody has given as a birthday gift, right? I mean, at least it wasn't, I didn't give you a certificate showing that I named a star after you. At least I didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, a star is one notch below what you did. But here's the thing. We did start getting emails from people saying, oh, that's nothing. You should hear I got blah, blah, blah. And they topped the story, like a much worse gift than Bean gave me.
Yeah.
Now, Bean's right. I do support charity. My wife and I run a charity. It's difficult to raise money. So that part of it made me happy. But then there was also, I don't know, there's also the a-hole in me that just went, that's not much of a gift. But even so, like, I'm super happy to help charities, and especially in Japan, which is where it went right now. It's just heartbreaking.
So we're going to be looking for your stories of getting and probably more likely receiving bad gifts. Now, are we limiting it to birthdays? Nah. Or can it be any gift-giving occasion, right? Yeah. Anniversaries, Christmas, yeah. Right. Here's a perfect example of one of the many emails we got in yesterday from one of our Kevin and Bean listeners. I liked your birthday present to Kevin way more than the one I got from my dad this year for my birthday. He gave me a hat signed by a NASCAR driver that he had won in a raffle the weekend before at a race. So I think that's a whole category of bad birthday gifts right there, is free stuff. It's free stuff that the person has anyway that they're just trying to unload and make it look like it's a thoughtful gift.
Right, which is understandable, and I can buy that completely. But if the kid was a NASCAR fan, it's still a pretty good gift if he's not a NASCAR fan. That's where you go,
right?
Bad gift.
Yeah. And that's what it sounds like. It sounds like, okay, in his case, maybe he didn't care one way or another about the stupid hat, but his dad thought, hey, I've got this thing that's sort of cool, so I'm going to give that out.
We got regifting, though. Let's leave that out. I mean, I've regifted everything I've received at some point or another, you know. Just always for comedy, just to the person who would appreciate it the least. But, yeah, somebody gave you a gift, and it was really for them. That happens a lot. A lot.
Yeah.
Like, I get my kids video games that I want to play. You know, that's bogus, clearly, but, you know, maybe they'll like it. Maybe they'll buy it. Maybe they'll think it's a gift for them.
And more importantly, maybe you can play with it.
Right. That's most important. Yeah.
All I know is the all-time great birthday gift in my mind is happened on The Simpsons, and that's when Homer bought Marge a bowling ball for her birthday. She didn't bowl. He did. And he bought a bowling ball that he could use, basically, and gave it to, you know, tried to get to palm it off as a gift on Marge. So that's
did
what
she
we're
say,
for.
I'm not going to use this? And he said, oh, well, I will.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. So,
that happens.
So here's the toll-free number, 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for bad, bad birthday gifts. We're looking for gifts that you're embarrassed that somebody thought you would like, and we want to hear the story behind it. Is it worse than a charity donation? Let's take one before the break. This is going to be Brianna on line one, 1-800-520-1067. Brianna, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Talk to me about bad gifts.
My grandma gave me lingerie for my 8th grade graduation.
Wow! Was it sexy lingerie?
I don't really remember. I just remember it was like forest green.
8th grade graduation.
Creepy.
Is that just, did she have all of her faculties, or she knew what she was doing?
She's super old.
Right, yeah. I know.
And look, when you're super old, and your grandma, you don't really keep track of how old all the kids are. I mean, how old are you when you graduate from 8th grade?
You're 14.
Yeah, 14.
Right. But for grandma, 14 is 19. I mean, if you're 80, it doesn't matter if the kid is 14, 19, or 25. They're all just kids to you. So she probably just got confused about the appropriateness of the age of that gift.
But she should have thought through lingerie for a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
I forgot about grandmas. That's grandma and grandpas. They don't know really much about anything.
Right. They don't really follow your life that much. They God bless them. They're sweet to try, but they really do usually send you something that's just way out of whack with what you're into.
For like $5.
Yeah. You know? That's good, too.
Inflation has escaped them.
You what, Brianna?
And I went to Catholic school my whole life.
So you didn't really need the lingerie?
Well, it was a Catholic school 8th grade graduation, so.
Yeah,
yeah, right. That's
really bizarre.
But you hung on to it, and at 16, you rocked it, right?
Because that's appropriate.
No, I got rid of it immediately. My mom got rid of it immediately.
That's funny.
That is funny. All right, thanks a lot for the call. Have a great day, Brianna. 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. Your tales of woe were bad gifts. Right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at a 637.
Dear Kevin and Bean, one of our Facebook fans says today, the worst gift I ever got was an adult onesie with footies. WTF. I rock that all the time, man. I think that's a good look, but maybe not for everybody. Maybe the onesie isn't what everybody's wanting for their birthday. But we're talking about bad birthday gifts here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin claims it is a completely unrelated topic to the gift that he may or may not have received from me yesterday on his birthday.
Yep.
It's completely unrelated.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes. Right.
Ralph, we've been planning this for a while, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We said, let's talk about it in case someone else had bad birthday gifts, not you.
By the way, there's another thing that I thought last night, which is with Photoshop or with Word, he could easily do that and not even make a donation.
Of course.
Which I'm going to start doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to start just putting
it. Oh, interesting.
Insert random, charity here.
Absolutely.
Hey, Ralph, I just gave a donation to your name.
$1 billion to the Crippled Kids Association in your name.
I had several listeners, more than a few, who emailed me asking who gets the tax deduction for the write-off of the donation. Yeah. If I made the donation, but it's in your name, is it you or is it me? I don't know.
I'm sure you do.
You do know.
I'm sure you do know, and it's all been worked out well in advance.
Let's try Daniel on line one. We're going to take your tales of bad gifting. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Daniel, thanks for hanging on. What happened?
Hey, for 10th grade. Well, first off, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there.
10th grade, my aunt gave me a crayon. She knew I was into art and stuff like that, and she ended up giving me a box of crayon, the 64.
The 64 is a good crayon. That's a good pack.
You got the 64 pack. That's like gold.
Did it have the sharpener? The sharpener in the box?
I had to sharpen them in the bag.
You got nothing to bitch about.
But he was in 10th grade. He was like 15, though.
So,
come on, Ralph.
Still, that rocks.
You should have seen the face of the look in my face when I opened up the Chris. I was like, oh, what the?
Yeah, but was she there, and did you have to act like it was the greatest gift ever?
Yeah, she was there. She thought it was the best present she ever gave me.
Awesome. Thank you for the call.
We may have to do some sort of gift exchange one day. That would be so much fun to take his box of crayons and offer it up to somebody else who wants to call in and get it, and then just keep trading it all the way up. Wouldn't we end up with a helicopter or something by the end of the show?
You get a house or something. That's how it works.
By the end of the show, yes.
Let's try Mark, line two. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd you get?
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
This is May.
Good morning.
All I got to say is my aunt gave me a 50-cent laser pointer for my 25th birthday.
All right.
Wow.
50-cent laser pointer. Does it have his picture on it, or how does that work?
No, I didn't even know
he made one of those.
Oh, I see.
Half a dollar. Well,
the only reason why I knew it was 50 cents is because on there it had a price tag that said two for a dollar.
Leave the price tag on.
Yes.
That's classy.
And she kept the other one, obviously.
Sweet.
Yeah,
thank you for the call.
She didn't even wrap it.
That's awesome. Let's try Vanessa. Let's get into romance here, because here's a young woman who I think got a very thoughtful and romantic gift, but like a woman, she's calling to bitch about it. Hi, Vanessa. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi.
What did you get?
Okay, my ex-boyfriend gave me a dissection kit with a dead frog and all kinds of little animals in it.
Are you into science?
No, I think it was more for him than anything.
So he gave you a dead frog and a couple of scalpels.
Yeah, pretty much.
Were you dating Dexter?
No, he actually turned out to be a lawyer instead of a chemist. So.
Wow. How long after that did he become your ex-boyfriend, and did that have anything to do with it?
Not too. It was a couple months after that.
That's pretty sweet, by the way.
Gotcha.
We got a box of crayons and a dissection kit.
Yeah, it is not a romantic gift for a girl on a birthday. It's just not. All right, let's try Carl. Let's get this into a new area on line six. Carl, we're talking about bad birthday gifts. I still think the worst gift of all time, by the way, is I named a star after you. I really do. I think that is dead last. I think anything. I'd take the frog dissection kit any day.
No, you wouldn't. You hate
to
kill animals and all that?
Really?
You would hate that.
I'm just saying.
All right, Christmas. Let me write that down. Bean.
Carl, welcome to the show.
Morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Hey, are you hot?
Am I hot?
Yeah. Nah, never mind.
Of course I'm hot.
All right, what'd you get as a gift?
All right, one time on Christmas Eve, we're having dinner at our house. My brother-in-law walks in with a handload of presents looking like Santa Claus and everything. It turns out to be all the promo crap from his office.
Sweet.
The most money he spent is probably on the wrapping paper, seriously.
So he just got some free swag at work and brought it home and said,
exactly.
Hey.
Exactly. T-shirts, caps, coffee cups. Nobody got a thing.
Sweet.
Now, what was your reaction? Did you pretend it was a good gift or did you call him on it?
Oh, of course I pretend it's a good gift. I got to deal with the guy every day. It's my brother-in-law.
Yeah.
That's tough.
You sort of have to, unless you know him really well and you know their sense of humor, you sort of have to go, hey, thanks. And then later go, what were they thinking?
Thanks for the call. Let's try Wendy. Wendy, line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Wendy. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Good morning, everybody. My worst gift was a bar of used soap for my birthday from a coworker.
Oh, you.
That happened.
Wait a minute. Are you really smelly?
No. She had been my Secret Santa at one time, so she knew that, you know, I collected this, and purple was my favorite color, and it was my birthday.
Wait, you collect soap?
No. I collect dolphins. Purple's my favorite color.
Okay.
And, you know, so she knew everything that I liked. Well, for my birthday, the day after, she goes, I'm sorry I missed your birthday, but here, I saw this and thought of you. It was a fancy bar of soap, but it had been used. It was one of those with the massager on it. It had hair in it.
Oh. Okay.
All right. That's enough.
That might top star there, B.
Well, I think so.
To be fair, she had also lost her mind a little bit. It wasn't too long after this that she went out on permanent stress leave.
Ah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We're expecting Bean to call that any day now. We're expecting Bean to say, I got to go on permanent stress leave.
Yeah. I didn't know that was an option. I like the sound of that. That's great. All right, why don't we leave it there with the calls? When you start getting used soap with hair in it, I think we've bottomed out. But, Ralph, the reason you're in here is because you're trying to cleanse our mind from all these bad gifts, right?
Yeah, I wanted to tell Kevin when I got him yesterday, but I was waiting for it to come in the mail, and I just can't wait anymore, especially after hearing all the bad gifts. I wanted to present Kevin with a good gift.
Again, this has nothing to do with my birthday.
No, it has nothing to do with it.
A call-in topic.
And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this isn't a good gift, but I thought it was pretty strong because I found out recently that there's a company called... Well, first of all, let me tell Kevin what I'm going to take you. All Kevin, right. I'm taking you on a zombie hunting trip. A zombie hunting trip. There's a company called zombietargets.com, and they make shooting targets, like you see at gun ranges.
Awesome.
But they're all zombies. They have a set of 4 zombie targets that you hang in a shooting range, and you get to shoot at the zombies.
So there's Bob, there's Chuck, there's Steve, and there's Osama.
Yes. It's like a zombie Osama. So I ordered a complete set for you, and then one day after the show, I'm going to take you to the target range, which is an indoor shooting range near where you live in the valley, and you and I are going to go, and we're going to hang your zombie targets out, and it's on me. We're going to get whatever gun you want, and you and I are going to shoot zombies all day.
That's the best gift ever.
That's going to be our day. That's my birthday gift to you. I'm going to take you zombie hunting with some brand new zombie targets. I know you do.
I love zombies.
Yeah. So we'll get to shoot at zombies for the afternoon, and we'll have lunch, and we'll make a day of it.
That's way better than Bean's gift.
That's what I wanted to give for you.
That this has anything to do with Bean's gift.
No, certainly not. Hey, party people, thanks a lot for listening to the program today on a Wednesday. April Foolishness is sold out for this Saturday night. We're very excited to see Jim Jeffries on stage doing his comedy, and he'll stop by the Kevin and Bean Show coming up right after the top of the hour 2.
Oh, have you ever held a wombat?
Oh, do you know wombats? I love them.
He's from Australia.
Australia, just to hold a wombat.
We're going to have to go through that again with Dave, or did he learn his lesson?
No, are you kidding? Does Dave ever learn his lesson?
And, you know, we've got Axis of Awesome coming in, too.
Yeah.
They're a musical comedy act. There's 3 of those guys in the band, all from Australia.
We've got to keep Dave away.
Oh, it's going to just be a run on wombat questions.
We need to have a security guard that doesn't protect the people, but follows Dave around.
Right.
Just to make sure he doesn't get in that kind of trouble.
It's with a trank dart when he starts into the wombat conversations.
Tases a bastard.
All right, time for a look at the showbiz beat. Now, here's Ralph.
Hey, Italy is no happier with the Jersey Shore than we are. Maybe even less so.
I'll bet. I was thinking yesterday? They're going to get their asses kicked.
Well, here's the thing. No one really knew them before.
Right.
But now that they're filming there, they've started showing the Jersey Shore, the previous seasons, in Italy.
Awesome.
Italians not digging it.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
One columnist wrote that the gang embody the worst stereotypes of Italians, and especially Italian-Americans. So now they're being greet it with a cold shoulder everywhere they go in Italy while filming the next season.
Love it.
So I'm hoping for a hit. Because you know that's
an actual
hit.
That's
what the Italians do, you know.
I don't think
I watch
all
the Sopranos.
Italians. Yeah, I don't.
22 back of the head. Boom.
That was New Jersey, first of all.
What's
I know
wrong
Italian,
with you, Paulie? What is wrong with you?
I've seen that show. Willie Nelson apparently will be getting off with a slap on the wrist for that marijuana bust that happened a couple weeks ago.
As well he should.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I still believe that there should be a list of like top 10 people that it's okay to smoke for.
Yeah.
Snoop, Willie.
Exceptions, right. Yeah.
The weird thing is the prosecutor came up with a unique plea bargain for Willie Nelson.
Wait, this is the prosecutor?
Yes.
I thought it was a judge, a wacky judge.
He suggested that Willie pay a small fee, has to plead guilty to a misdemeanor, but then has to come into court and sing his classic Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain for everyone. Basically, dance, monkey, dance is what he's saying.
But that's the best case scenario for Willie Nelson,
but
right?
That's embarrassing. You shouldn't have to be demanded to come to court and sing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's just, I can see
that's,
that.
That. You know what that is? Is that's treating the defendant worse because he's a celebrity.
Yeah. Anyway, the county judge, Becky Dean Walker, has the final say in the case. She threw out that deal.
What?
Yeah. Said, just because he's a star, I don't think he should receive any special treatment. As far as my court goes, I treat everyone the same. So she says the punishment is just going to be a $100 fine and $278 in court costs. So he'll have to pay a small amount of money, but no singing for the gang.
The prosecutor was going to start shouting out titles, and he was just going to have to switch
right.
it to him immediately.
Do On the Road Again! Karaoke night. Speaking of karaoke, Kevin, are you excited? Tonight is Elton John night on American Idol.
He's making the rounds. He's the host and musical guest of Saturday Night Live this weekend, too.
Yeah, he is.
We watched that show.
Oh, come on, though, with Elton, those Elton songs, you're going to be there, right?
Are the people going to sing them better than Elton?
Nope.
All right. No.
BodogSportsbook.com has a list of who's going to win the show. Oh, look at number one. Oh, look who's the favorite. Look who's going up at 2-1. Pia Toscano.
Now, Ralph, you picked her to throw your support behind because she's hot.
No, I did not. I picked her because she's hot and enormously talented. Has the best voice on the show.
Right, but mostly hot.
No, it's a combination. She's yes. got it all. She's got the whole package.
All right, whatever.
There's been plenty of hot girls this season, but I think she stands alone.
She is. Look, I can't argue that she's talented. Technically, she is a good singer, but like Celine Dion, I get no emotional connection to her whatsoever. She just seems like a cold fish to me. Yeah. She really does.
But emotional connections is not your strength.
That's not what
well,
you
maybe
majored
that's,
in college.
Maybe. I'm yeah. just saying I don't get it. I don't get your excitement over Pia.
I do not get an emotional connection from this human.
From any human, though. That's the problem here.
Yeah. Speaking of music, Death Cab for Cutie has an interesting way to debut its new music video. They've got a new song called You Are a Tourist from their new album Codes and Keys. So what they're going to do is, you log on to their website, they're going to shoot the video live in one take, and they're going to webcast it live so you can watch.
Okay.
Now that performance will be the video for that song from that point on, but you'll get to see it live as they're filming it on their website, first time out of the shoot.
That's interesting.
It's going to happen on April 5th at 7 p.m. Eastern. That'd be 4 p.m. on the West Coast. And the album, Codes and Keys, will be out on May 31st.
If they mess up, will they leave that in the video?
Yeah, they're just one shot. They got one shot at it. One take, live. You'll see it on the internet. And then from that point on, that will be the video for that song. But if you're a Death Cab for Cutie fan, you get to log on and see the performance live, which is pretty cool. And this sounds like a great film based on the cast alone. Listen to this cast. Ask me if you would go see this movie. Michael C. Hall.
Yes.
From Dexter, of course. Boardwalk Empire's Michael Shannon. And my buddy, Oscar winner, Melissa Leo.
Wow.
Sure. Now, we're supposed to ask you if we would go see this movie? That's what you wanted us?
No, we're supposed to answer that question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You, not so much, B. You don't have to say anything about it. Right. But would you go see it, Kevin?
Absolutely. Well, what is it? Wait.
Now, you said you're going. Wait, you said you're going.
But wait, what is it?
You're going. You said it. What if I told you it was based on the life and death of this man? No. My bad. Wrong clip. That's the wrong clip. That's the Beastie Boys song.
If it's based on that song, I'm in.
No. It's based on the life and death of an artist named Bobby Fuller.
I
Song that they're basing this on?
No.
Or the guy?
The guy. He wrote that song, became a huge hit in 1966. He was 23 years old. Right after that was released, he was on top of the world. Dead. Now, the official cause of death was suicide.
Okay.
But some people, to this day, don't believe it. They think it was murder.
Tell me how that goes.
So, apparently, a book was written about this, and now they're making a movie based on the success and then immediate death of Bobby Fuller, who had a smash hit. And of course, Clash recorded that song. They had a big hit with it, too. But they're going to do a story about his life and death. Fascinating.
Nope. I agree. I'm with you. You don't care if I would go, but I would go.
Fascinating.
Nope.
But Kevin said he's going to go, so we'll see you there in the theaters, Kevin.
Nope.
Yeah, we have the tape. Kevin saying he would go.
You said it. Look, if I had told you years ago they were going to make a movie about the guy who sang La Bamba and died in a plane crash, you'd be like, I'm not going to go see that, right?
Right.
But then the movie comes out, and you're like, oh, La Bamba, love that movie.
I didn't see it.
Oh, come on. You saw La Bamba.
I didn't see
Everybody
it.
Saw La Bamba.
I didn't see All La right. Bamba.
What if I said they're going to do a song, a movie about that Tejano singer who was killed by the president of her fan club, that's Selena. You'd be like, I'm not going to go see that. And then Jennifer Lopez stars in that movie, and you're like, boom, I loved it. I saw that movie. I loved it.
No, I didn't go see that.
Come on, Kevin!
I didn't see that either.
You saw the Johnny Cash movie, I Walked the Line. I bet you saw that. That was a great movie, right?
Didn't see that.
You didn't see that either? That was a great movie.
Yeah. Could be. Good. Thumbs up.
What about the movie about that other guy?
The other old guy that died?
Yeah, we can't get Kevin to see any of those. All right. Celebrity birthdays today. Warren Beatty is 74 years old. Musician Eric Clapton is 66. Paul Reiser is 54 years old. Where did Paul Reiser go for the past decade?
I don't know, but I just saw an ad on TV during
a sport. He's got a new series coming on. But between that and Mad About Love, I guess, was his show with Helen Hunt.
Mad About You.
What happened?
He was taken into a alien spaceship.
Yes.
That's what happened. He dropped off the probe.
Is that what you're saying? No. He was probed?
I think he had the huge royalties that he could live off of, but I also think he does sporadic stand-up as well. I just think it has not been high profile because it hasn't been on television.
There's no need to criticize the man's comedy.
Seriously.
Just because he hasn't been on television for a while, calling his stand-up sporadic. I think he's funny all the time. And it's just been odd that he would just drop off the radar.
That big a star, and then nowhere.
No movies, no nothing, just nothing. MC Hammer's 48 years old today. Where's MC Hammer been the past 10 years?
Everywhere.
Trying to get on every reality show possible.
He's been everywhere.
Ian Ziering is 47 years old, and CNN host Piers Morgan is 46. Celine Dion is 43, and Norah Jones celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Brock Lesnar. Talking about the new season of Ultimate Fighter joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around for that. And we got tickets up close in the fancy schmancy section for Kevin and Bean's third annual April Foolishness happening this Saturday. Who's that funny guy from Australia that's on the bill? What's that guy's name, Kevin? I can't think of that dude.
I don't know. You got me.
Jim Jeffries. Yay! He's right in front of you. Hey, Jim, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
Thank you so much for having me.
I was wondering who that dude was.
We can't thank you enough in advance.
I shouldn't
really say this in case you sucks at it, but we can't thank you enough in advance for agreeing to be there and helping us raise money for great charities this weekend.
I'm happy we're working for the charity. I actually turned down other charities just to do this charity.
Oh, that makes us feel bad now.
Yeah, no, they'll never fix Japan the right way. I said, stuff your tsunami.
You know what's sort of weird that people may not realize is I have some friends who are comedians, and you guys get hit up to do charity all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, all the time.
All the time.
At some point, you go, I have to do something that pays.
No, I don't mind doing charity gigs. It's actually easier than giving money directly. You know what I mean? Like you can raise a lot of money
that's true.
And it's only I'm 20 minutes on stage or something. That's nothing.
Right.
I got to be honest with you. I'm not just trying to blow smoke up. Yeah. This is probably the strongest bill of comics I've ever worked with, and I've worked on some pretty big bills of comics, man.
It is kind of strange, and we don't think about it this way. But when you go out, you headline, and then other people go out and they headline. You don't usually get these multi...
They're all headliners. Yeah,
we're super excited
about it. It's also often when you're on a bill with a few good comics, you're always like, I don't want to go on after that guy.
Oh, that happens,
And so my manager who's here today, she actually went, oh, well, they've given us the lineup. Just say if you're unhappy. And it's like... I don't want to go on after any of these people. I don't want to be involved in the show at all. I'm not charitable. What am I doing here?
It is funny. We do have some comedians that have those. They're not demands, but requests. They go,
please don't make me go last, especially. That's why.
Yeah, I'm going second last, so I'm happy about that. That's all right.
Like Ray Romano, for example.
Ray Romano's going on first. He needs to get back in the minivan. And, oh, no, it's too early for me.
Oh, you do a Ray Romano. I love it. You know what his big fear is? Is that people are going to get drunk, and then he's not going to know how to relate to
No, it's dying alone.
Could be.
Is his actual big fear. Yeah.
So basically, when he said he would do it, he said, can I go first? And I was like, yeah, I guess.
He's like the most famous guy there.
We'd rather put you later in the show. No, can I hear your voice again? No, I like
Oh, no. It's not the best impersonation. I've got better ones, but, you know, I'll leave them for later.
Oh, that one's dead on.
Oh, yeah.
But Ray is also, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn because he would tell you the same thing on our show, Kevin. He's also just so crippled by self-doubt. And maybe this is true of a lot of comedians. Jim, you tell
all
me.
Comedians. All
comedians, they always feel like, okay, even though I've been successful, even though I do this for a living and I got a career going, the next time I get up on stage, it's going to be a disaster and nobody's going to laugh and nobody's going to like me. And that seems to be the thing that drives most comics.
Every time I get a knock on the door, I think it's someone that's going to be going, oh, there's been a huge mistake. You're not funny.
You're not funny. Taking your whole career away.
You've ridden this way for too long, son. Out you go.
When was the last time that it really happened? Not just that you were afraid, but that it
died
bombed.
On, have you ever bombed? All the time.
What do you mean all the time?
At least a couple of times a year I bomb. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I got punched on stage once.
Can we reconsider this Saturday? Wait, you got punched?
Yeah, it's on the internet, yeah.
We've talked about that.
That's right, I forgot about that.
Of course I've bombed. Every comic is. And any comic who says they haven't is a liar.
But most of them, isn't it earlier in their career?
No, but it still happens occasionally.
It does.
Still happens.
Is it just a mix the wrong crowd?
I do like 300 shows a year, right? So statistically, two times is just... There's always one time where it's the audience's fault, and then there's one time where it's my fault.
Okay.
And I've been drinking heavily for many years, and I'm sort of off it at the moment, right?
But sure.
In the times that I was drinking, I'd get up legless and not know what happened. I'd abuse the wrong lady in the front row for doing nothing. You know what I mean? That one where you stand up there going, what are you looking at? There's like the guy in the spotlight with the microphone, maybe. Who do you think you are?
What's your drink so we can have it ready for you?
Oh, I'm a Jack and Coke
guy. Right,
I'm trying not to drink at the moment.
Sure, but we'll have it for you backstage.
I'm going to South Africa is my next gig. The next day I'm on a plane to South Africa to do shows.
Really?
Now, what's that about?
I know. What is that about? it's just three shows. I'm playing the Mandela Theatre, but it sounds prestigious, but I have a feeling that everything's called Mandela over there.
That could be.
I feel like the Mandela Highway down Mandela Street to the Mandela Theatre might be where the gig is.
That could be, but none of us know, so you should say it's like an outdoor arena.
It's like the Sydney Opera House. Just tell people that.
No, it's bigger than the Sydney Opera House. The Sydney Opera House is a very small theatre.
Because, it's just prestigious because it's so beautiful, I guess.
It looks lovely on the outside, but you try putting seats in that little, well, they call it nuns in a scrum, is what they call it. But it's not a very good space inside. It's like if you look at the building, how it points up, all the rows have one less chair. Until eventually there's just one bloke sitting in the back.
That's the worst seat in the house. So, Jim, how do they, forgive me if this is a stupid question, do they know you in Johannesburg and Cape Town just because they've seen you on the internet? Or do you have comedy specials that air there?
My HBO comedy special allegedly aired over there. They put some billboards up and hopefully people will show up. But I'm on a guarantee, so who cares whether they know me or not? So that's a situation where it could all bomb really badly.
You don't know what to expect. You've never been to South Africa to do comedy.
I have done comedy in South Africa, but never more than 15 minutes at a time.
And you're headlining this one?
These will be like two-hour shows, you know, and I'll put a little interval in the middle. You know.
Look, I get the draw of being a stand-up comic. I understand why people
women,
obviously,
awkward, ugly men that want to meet women.
I understand the thrill that you might get on stage from that immediate reaction from, you know, your crowd. I get all that.
And the women afterwards.
I don't know how you sign up for a job that requires you to travel as much as 300 gigs a year, though.
Yeah,
that sounds like a killer.
That is the rubbish bit. And I can't see myself doing that in, you know, past 45 to this extent. You know what I mean? Like, I'll still travel to do gigs, but I've always said I don't get paid to tell jokes. I love telling jokes. So I get paid to get on airplanes and stay in hotels.
Right. Yeah. And that's why some guys look for a TV show so they can stay home and still make money and not have to travel. Or they just they go to Vegas and have a residency or something.
Or just a rich lady who'll die. Sure. Some time.
It's hard to find, though. But yeah. Sometimes if you can, that's great. Do you get any women?
Don't get any women.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm no psycho Mike. You know, it's not like I'm a great dancer or anything. But I do all right for myself.
Well, if you're a rich lady who's about to die, we're looking for you. Next hour, we'll be giving away tickets up close to see Jim Jefferies and the whole lineup for this year's April Fool's.
Well, you're still giving out tickets.
Just in the front. We save them for this week just to kind
of... Yeah, but it's a charity event. What's wrong with people?
We don't give away most of them, but we give away just a small section up front.
I'll pay for their tickets.
This is just five pair this week of the fancy schmancy tickets. The rest they all sold. And by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, Joe. The show this year sold out faster than any other. Less than 2 hours, the whole place was gone.
I knew me on the bill would make that effect.
That's true.
Put into action.
That's true. No one bought it until they heard Jim Jefferies, and they went, "Yes, I'm in."
Saturday night, Jimmy Kimmel will be there along with Cleto and the Cleetones, the awesome late night band from his television show. Patton Oswalt is on the bill. Ray Romano, Bill Burr, Steve-O, Doug Benson, Axis of Awesome, and of course our friend Jim Jefferies, who is here in studio. We'll talk more with Jim after this on the Kevin and Bean. Comedian Jim Jefferies back in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show today. You can get him at jimjefferies.com. He is going to be playing at the Irvine Improv at the end of April if he survives South Africa. Yes, April 28th through May 1st. You can go to improv.com to get tickets to see Jim.
Why don't you come back in then?
I will, but I never look that far forward in my career to know where I'm actually going to be.
It's less than a month from now, Jim. You know that, right?
I'm sorry, Jim.
I'll be there if it says I'm going to be there.
I'm sorry, Jim. I can't support those shows because that's during the royal wedding.
Oh,
sorry.
Right.
I tell you what.
Prince William is getting married
This is my theory on the royal wedding. I've had savings in my British bank account from before I moved over here, and I've been wanting to move it over, but the dollar's been going up and down, up and down, up and down. I'm thinking... The pound's going to go through the roof. It's going to be awesome. The American economy is going to crash because of this wedding. I am holding out for this wedding. I might be making a lot of cash off this wedding.
Hey, speaking of making cash, there are two purchases of yours that I want to ask you about. One is, apparently, and I saw one of the interviews for one of your shows recently, you are obsessed with pinball machines and bought yourself a bitching pinball machine. True?
I have, but it's broken down twice in the last month, and if the people at Stern don't start getting it fixed real soon...
Are you a bad user?
It's just got a problem with the circuit board, and I...
How much did you pay for that pinball machine, Jim Jefferies?
$5,000.
$5,000?
You didn't get a break for tweeting or something?
They hold their value. It'll be worth four and a half in like 10 years' time.
Really? I bought a lot of cars for about $5,000.
If it becomes a classic, then it will go up in value as well. There's lots of pinball machines. Like Medieval Madness now is like $12,000 to buy one.
Wow.
And it would have been
What's special about this one? What's the theme of it?
This is Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and Spider-Man's it's brand new in its box, man, and it's pretty awesome. You got to.
It's awesome, except for that it doesn't work.
Yeah, when it works, though.
When it works, it's awesome.
It's pretty good. I've got a score that's like one of the top 10 scores in Spider-Man in the world.
You know that could go...
No, I know chicks go mad for type of thing.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they go mad for it.
I didn't realize that.
And I can fix anything on it except for the circuit board, and I can't fix the circuit board. Yeah.
Are you one of these guys, we talked to, we've had athletes on before, baseball players and stuff, who love food, for instance, and they can't wait to get to the cities that they're playing in because they have restaurants there. Are you that way with pinball machines? Like
I do go to different
machines around the country?
I do go to different bars and stuff and try to find pinball machines, but a lot of them are knackered and they're hard to repair. But I'm the same way with the food thing as well. My father is so much like that. My mother was there. My parents met in Europe just backpacking around. They're both Australians, but they met backpacking around. And my mother sort of went, "Do you remember when we went to the Vatican?" And my father was like, "The Vatican." And then she goes, "In Rome." And he goes, "Was that place, the big white place where over there they had those thin pizzas?" Like, that's
honestly, he doesn't remember.
That's how he remembered the Vatican.
He just identifies it by the food?
He can remember everywhere in the world from a meal that he had somewhere.
That's bizarre, especially with the Vatican.
Yeah. Oh, well, dementia will do. He's only got the onsets of it. He's just started getting Alzheimer's. And my mother... is on oxygen. She's a hugely overweight woman, can hardly get around. My father's physically fit, but he's got Alzheimer's. And it's like, do you remember Mad Max, like, with 3, with Master Blaster, where he's like the retarded guy with the midget strapped to the back of his head?
But I wish I did.
That's my parents. My parents are like, my dad's like the physical work, and my mum's the brains. As long as they stay in the same room, things can get done. But if either one of them leave the other one, which is weird because they hate each other, you know. But
it's forced staying together so they can make it.
I think they're going to get divorced because, you know, because they had to wait till we all moved out of the house.
Sure, sure.
45 years of marriage, they thought, nah, this isn't working.
The other purchase besides the pinball machine I had to ask you about, producer Alex said you were showing her the world's most awesome app. Now, is this for your iPhone, your iPad, or what, Jim?
Don't, you'll get me in trouble. I can't.
Yeah, you can't talk about it?
Really?
Because it sounds like something I need.
It's a pretty good app. It's an app that hides your photos, right?
Oh. You mean like in your iPhoto on your computer, you mean?
Yeah, on your phone, right?
So okay. It's the one.
Tell me more.
So if you've got a picture up of something that you don't want the girl folk to see, say it's, you know, a picture of a purchase of a pinball that they didn't appreciate. Or,
women.
Or breasts.
Right.
And they come over the corner, you tap it really quickly, you tap the phone twice, and a picture of a graph will show up. Right?
But wait a minute.
Don't you need something more believable than a graph?
No, because I'm a business guy. I run these things.
Do you look at a graph any other time than this?
I'll be there going, my taxes. This is how much I earn in the Irvine show.
Name of that app?
I don't know the name of it, but it looks like a little safe. It looks like a little padlock safe.
So you just tap the image on your phone, and all of a sudden it disappears.
Also, and if they if someone gets your phone and puts in the wrong PIN number 3 times, mm-hmm. a whole lot of pictures of ducks and stuff come up.
Wow, that's quite a security system.
No one would buy you with the graph, ever.
That's true.
Are there any other options besides the graph?
No, you can put a different picture
like a sports
on.
Sports or
you can
something?
Put an actual picture of, you know, like your child or something.
Excellent.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, I just normally have a picture of Psycho Mike wherever I go. Because he's so handsome.
He is an awfully good-looking young man.
I do love line with him sometimes. And my word, me and Dr. Drew are just as soon as he leaves the room, me and Dr. Drew were like, did you see how he looked at me? He didn't look at you that way. me and Dr.
You
Drew, we get very competitive over Mike's affections.
How do you, I know we're almost out of time with comedian Jim Jefferies here on the Kevin Bean Show, but how do you continue to make it work in your line of work with a girlfriend who's living in Britain?
She
seems like a recipe for disaster.
Oh, well, that's not the case anymore.
That's how.
So she's here now. Okay.
No, I can't go into too many details.
Oh, you're not with her anymore?
Yeah, that's sort of
okay.
That
was before you had the app.
I can't. Yeah, that was. I can't talk too much about everything.
Jim
like
is a mysterious man. There's a lot of stuff going on just beneath the surface
we
have to explore.
I'm actually the least mysterious person on earth. Basic human.
We were just whispering for about 5 minutes. That's a good point, Kevin. And that works on the radio too. No.
You're going to get me in trouble.
All right. Listen, we're not
We don't want to do that. All right. If Jim Jefferies survives the post-show meeting with his girlfriend, he'll be at April Foolishness this Saturday night at the Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City Walk, completely sold out. And, of course, thanks again to everybody who bought tickets.
Except for those people who have won tickets, which you're just stealing from
just
soldiers.
A few. We're only giving away a few. Charities this year, the Wounded Warrior Project and also the Cedars-Sinai Maxine Dennett's Children's Center, NICU. Thank you so much for your support. Jim, we will see you on Saturday night, my friend. Delightful to have you in again. We'll do it again.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Have Jim Jefferies. He's a funny guy, by the way.
He's awesome.
Funny guy. Can't wait to see him on Saturday night. All right. Brock Lesnar joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, by now you've heard the news. Psycho Mike is no longer on Dancing with the Stars.
We had a new episode of Dancing with the Stars tonight. Our first contestant of the season has been thrown into the volcano. Psycho Mike Catherwood, who somehow managed to overcome not being a dancer or a star to earn a spot on the roster. I think that's admirable.
So that happened. He goes on Jimmy Kimmel immediately after he gets kicked off.
And that's what Jimmy does every season. Whoever gets kicked off of Dancing with the Stars basically goes down the street and is on that night's Jimmy Kimmel show. So you don't know until the show until Dancing with the Stars finishes taping who it's going to be. It happened to be Mike and his partner, Lacey Schwimmer, who, by the way, Kevin, I don't know about you. I fell deeply in love with Lacey throughout the run of Dancing with the Stars.
She's the best.
She's what a fun chick.
And you should have seen her in the rehearsal. She just, she, I think she's a window licker expert.
You know what I mean? Like she knows how to handle people like Mike.
She had Steve-O, she had Mike. I mean, they give her the difficult people, and she's the best.
Yeah.
So this was Jimmy Kimmel last night.
With us, our next guest is a radio personality, a sometime competitive bodybuilder, and now most significantly a former celebrity dancer, along with his dance partner, Lacey Schwimmer. Please say hello to the first victim of this new season of Dancing with the Stars from the world-famous K-Rock, Psycho Mike Catherwood.
So Mike walks out with Lacey, and he sits down. And this, by the way, this is funny because Mike said when they first talked to him about Dancing with the Stars that two of the things he had to agree to was going on Jimmy Kimmel and Good Morning America, which I guess he's on today. Right. And he said, this is so weird. I get to do Jimmy Kimmel. Like they act like they're forcing me to, and I'm so excited to do it. Because he knows Jimmy, you know?
He's done it for 5 years, yeah.
So Jimmy asked him, I think, what we all were thinking.
Did you think you would make it this far?
To be perfectly honest, yes. Yes, I did.
It seemed like you thought that the guys you work with at K-Rock, Kevin and Bean, thought, everyone thought you would be eliminated first, and it turns out everyone was right.
Yeah. Well, if you base it just on the facts, Jimmy, I had far and away the lowest level of celebrity status going in.
You did, yeah.
And I'm a terrible dancer.
Those are two strikes.
And the show is Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, so you had the with the, though. You guys were with each other.
Yeah, that's true.
That stands for something, right?
Yeah, there was some chemistry there.
So then he follows up on the chemistry question.
Is it true ABC asked you to tone the chemistry down?
Yeah.
By the way, this is behind the scenes. This is true. They said, you guys need to tone it down. And I think it was, you'll hear him explain a little bit more, but I think it was mostly in the rehearsals.
And the interviews, too, because every time they would do an interview on any of the shows about the season of Dancing with the Stars, they would always talk about how Mike was taking his pants off, or he was rubbing up against her, or trying to have sex with her, or she was grabbing him. I mean, it definitely was probably a little more than that family-friendly show would have liked.
And I also don't think we understood the high level of uncomfortableness that people at the show had with Mike. Like, they made the wrong decision because this guy might get us in trouble. So they were nervous the whole time. And Jimmy gets to that when he starts asking him a little bit more about the chemistry.
Yeah, but it wasn't like...
They really ask you to... How do you do that?
Well, I mean, you wear more clothing.
Clearly. I see.
I mean, there's body parts that you got to hide.
I see. Because you did get naked in the rehearsal.
Yeah, often.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Is that allowed? I mean, this is a workplace type situation.
I mean, I guess it is allowed. I guess you did get fired today, so.
Yeah, you did get.
So maybe that was it.
Maybe it was an HR decision rather than just the audience voting.
By the way, that's interesting.
It is interesting. I mean, it's a lot less trouble for Dancing with the Stars to not have to worry about Mike every week.
And if I'm Dancing with the Stars, I am worried about Mike. Having said that, he wasn't a good dancer.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm sure it all played into the decision.
It's true.
Well, I'm very sorry that this had to happen, but it does have to happen to someone. Lacey, is Mike your worst dance partner ever? Be honest.
No, Steve-O was.
Steve-O was the worst? Be careful. He's backstage with a porta potty.
I love him. Oh, No, I love him to pieces, but no.
That's good. You're still behind Steve-O in the
true.
Terrible dancing.
That's true, but he's a member of one of the maybe the most financially successful movie franchise ever, and I'm not.
Well, so. You know what? It's yin and yang is
That's
what it
true.
Is. Well, right That's now, true. Guillermo is outside on Hollywood Boulevard for the ceremonial burning of the Capizios.
So, Guillermo, dressed as Britney Spears, who was also on the show last night, is out on Hollywood Boulevard, and he's got a fire going in one of the trash cans, and he takes the shoes that Mike danced in, and I guess he throws them into the fire and burns them.
Mike, tonight, you were eliminated from Dancing with the Stars, and your shoes... Pay the price. Guillermo, America has spoken.
So that's Psycho Mike. And then this morning he's on Good Morning America. And then he's not anymore. But again, I will say, takes huge balls for that guy. And he doesn't have them. Trust me.
And we should also mention one more time for folks who didn't listen last night is he did incorporate your suggestions when you went down to the rehearsal studio. Right before he exited, they said, say goodbye, go ahead and dance our way out as the credits roll. And he was doing a bunch of those moves that you tried, like the Gravedigger, for instance.
He did the Gravedigger.
First time I've ever seen a guy doing the Gravedigger on national TV.
He did Hedo Rick. which is his personal hero. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. He did Tarmac, like three or four of the dances that we put in that funny video, he did as they were going out. And you could tell ABC was super nervous about it because they kept cutting away from him to the hosts who were just smiling and laughing. They weren't doing anything. Mm-hmm. And then they would cut back to Mike and they'd go, oh, no, he's making us nervous. And then they would go back to the host. It was awesome. So Mike's the best, and he will be on the show no more. But that means we don't have to watch it now.
Yay!
So win-win.
Talk to UFC former heavyweight champ Brock Lesnar coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show just after the top of the hour. Next hour, we also have tickets in the pit, the fancy schmancy tickets for April Foolishness. If you want to join us this Saturday night, all that's coming up. Now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
A lot of love for the zombie hunting trip. That's all I'm saying. Oh. A lot of people are stealing that idea, saying they want to give it to their loved ones.
Awesome.
That's all I'm saying.
Anyone stealing Bean's idea?
I did get an email from one gentleman said he's just simply donating money to zombies in your name. So
that's just as good.
It works out well for the zombies. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? New Beastie Boys music. How about that?
Fantastic.
Lead track from the Beastie Boys' new album, Hot Sauce Committee Part 1, will be released as a special limited edition Record Store Day vinyl single.
What?
On April 16th. So for all you folks who are still rocking the Victrolas, good news.
What about for those of us that aren't?
Well, you're going to have to wait. Huh. However, they have leaked the song. It's on the internet. If you want to go to YouTube.com, you can see Make Some Noise. Here's a little taste of the brand new Beastie Boy music. Ah, come on! Hey, that's not...
What?
That's not Beastie Boys.
I'm sorry, that's Goat Whore.
That's Goat Whore, yeah.
Going back to their roots, man. Wow.
Here's the Beastie Boys. I'm competition like a flamethrower. My rhymes, they like wine as I get older. I'm getting full, the competition is waning. I got the girl and I see the lane in. We got a party on the left, a party on the right. We're gonna party for the neck, hope it can light up late.
Boys!
That sounds great.
It does sound great.
It sure does. And isn't this, didn't they have this record ready to go and then one of the guys got sick and had to go through cancer treatment and they postponed. Now it's finally coming out. We've been waiting a long time for this, right?
I think they weren't quite finished with it. I think they had to wait for Adam to get well before they went back into the studio. But he is. He's in remission and all's well and they're ready to rock. So
fantastic.
Good and stuff. We are ready for new Beastie Boys. It has been too long.
Finally, I think I've found a Hollywood helper story that Kevin will like. The story of celebrities saving a man's life that Kevin can actually get behind.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people would doubt there could be such a thing.
Oh, how dare you.
But this story comes from Danny McBride.
We love him.
He and his buddy James Franco did that movie Your Highness together, and they filmed it in Ireland.
With Natalie Portman.
But she was not involved in this story.
Don't care. She's the most important part of that movie.
No, she is not.
All right.
Because they were filming on location in Belfast, and apparently the apartment complex across where the actors were sleeping, they had to get sleep, obviously, before they worked in long hours, and they needed their sleep. It was directly across from a bar, a pub. I know, what are the odds of being across the street from a pub in Ireland?
Yeah.
About 100%.
Shocking.
So they started getting cheesed off because these guys would pour out of the pub and just be loud and screaming and fighting and just be a general pain in the ass, and they could not get any sleep. So James Franco, Justin Theroux, Danny McBride all dress up in black and go down into the street and hide in the street across from the pub with dozens and dozens of eggs. And they decide when these guys come out of the pub, they're going to pelt them with eggs to punish them for their bad behavior.
I like it.
Are you transcribing the story, Bean, while I'm telling you?
I am. I'm sending this on teletype to our fans in Europe who can't stream the show.
I feel like there's a court stenographer taking down my testimony.
Only he knows the story, so he's ahead of you.
That's right.
Wait till you see how it ends. You guys are going to love it.
So they had a strict code. You weren't allowed to pelt any women or children. You couldn't pelt anybody with eggs who was going into the club. The only people who would get hit by eggs were those who were coming out and misbehaving. If they misbehaved, they would be punished, said Danny.
This is awesome.
Love it.
Well, it turns out there was a crowd that came out of the pub, and there was just a guy walking down the street. And this drunken mob starts to attack this guy, starts to beat him.
Oh, no.
So they unleash this downpour of eggs on these guys and scared them off by pelting them with eggs, and they believe saved the guy's life who they were kicking and beating on the ground in the pub outside of
Wow.
Outside of the pub.
First of all, how shocking to have drunken violence in Ireland outside of a pub.
How dare you, sir?
Second of all, how freaked out must have those guys have been? Like, where is this coming from?
A deluge of eggs pouring down on you while you're just trying to beat somebody senseless.
They probably didn't even know what it was at first. They just started getting hit with stuff.
We lit him up, broke up the fight, and we saved that guy's life, Danny McBride says. Well, what do you say, Kevin? Is this the one? Is this the one you can get behind?
I'm fine with that.
Really? Because usually you would rather the guy got beaten to death than Danny McBride just stood around watching it happen.
Usually, you don't like celebrities who save lives.
Usually the celebrity stories are, they go through the PR machine before they come to us. Doesn't sound like this one did. Fantastic.
Right from Danny's mouth.
Happy for him.
All right.
Some kind of superhero team fighting with eggs.
Eggs. Who would have thought? Wouldn't you abandon the eggs and go try to help?
They're the Justice League. They're like the National Dairy Council or something. Very strange. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Warren Beatty is 74 years old today. Eric Clapton is 66. Yeah. Paul Reiser is 54. MC Hammer celebrates his 48th birthday. Ian Ziering from 90210 is 47. Piers Morgan, now on CNN, formerly the host of America's Got Talent. He still may be for all I know. 46 years old. Celine Dion is 43. And singer Nora Jones celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
First, Kevin, you're glad we have a minute here because you saw something amazing besides Psycho Mike and Britney Spears on last night's Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Well, Johnny Knoxville was the guest, and he's talking about Jackass 3.5, which is going to be on a website this Friday. But he told the funniest story about a prank that he meant to play, and Jimmy came out, and you have to hear this because it might be the best prank ever played on Johnny Knoxville. And that's saying something.
No kidding.
With that group of guys. So we're going to play this while we wait for Brock Lesnar, and then we're going to talk to Brock Lesnar.
We had $2,000 worth of horsey juice. Can we say that on the air?
Yeah.
And
the stuff that they use to
make other horses.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be a good idea to put it in everyone's sunscreen when we hand out sunscreen at the day. And it got to the end of the movie, and I was like, we haven't shot that yet. And I was very upset. And we have a cast and crew screening one night, and Jimmy shows up at it, and at the cast and crew screening, I'm talking to everyone, thanking them. And Jimmy walks up and hits me in the nuts and says, sit down. And they show me footage that actually we did shoot the bit. They had put the horsey juice in my sunscreen, and I put it on for like 8 weeks.
Like a million times.
8 weeks.
And the best, I love how like careful you are with your skin and how just ridiculously not careful you are with the rest of your body.
I kept my sunscreen with moisturizer, by the way, in my car where no one could get it.
Constantly dabbing yourself.
And someone told me that it's good for chapped lips, so I'd be like...
So all along, he's putting the horsey juice on his body and his lips, wondering why they're not doing it to someone else.
And they had footage of him doing that, and they just showed it just time after time after time of him putting it on himself and just being way, way, way over, you know, more careful than you even need to be for weeks.
I love that he locked up the sunscreen so nobody could screw with it, yet when they handed it to him, it already had the stuff in it.
Yeah.
Was Jimmy behind that? Is he the guy who pulled that off?
I'm not positive he was behind that or not, but funniest story I've ever heard, and Jackass 3.5 comes out on Friday.
And I think we'll talk more about that with Steve-O when he comes in later this week, too. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Big, big night tonight on the Spike Network. The Ultimate Fighter returns. It's Brock Lesnar time.
It's an opportunity for me to take my amateur wrestling roots and combine it with jiu-jitsu and boxing.
I've wanted to be a fighter since I was a little kid.
Brock Lesnar is a serious athlete. That guy's a real wrestler.
Two-time NCAA All-American, two-time Big Ten Conference champion, and the 2000 NCAA heavyweight champion. From there, he did a stint in the WWE, came into the UFC, walked through everybody, and became the UFC heavyweight champion.
I like to get in one-on-one with my opponent, and that's where I handled my business.
Brock Lesnar is a freakishly strong dude. He's 280 pounds, cuts down to 265, and he moves like a lightweight.
I can just picture his eyeballs getting big. As I dump him on his head, I've got these fists in his mouth, buried down his throat, and I'll pull his head off. I just can't wait.
Stay out of the way of Brock Lesnar.
That's good advice.
I listened to that, Kevin, and I don't know why you're talking smack about the man, why you keep saying you can take him. I don't get that. How is that smart?
I don't know.
I'm not saying that at all.
One violent dude.
Yep. Brock, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How you feeling, man?
Feel great.
Good. I'm always surprised when I see guys like you, and I remember when Quentin did it, and everybody, you know, takes on the challenge of being a coach on The Ultimate Fighter. It seems like you already have a full-time job, which is training to be the champ again. What makes you take on something like this?
I guess for me, it was a business decision. It was an opportunity for me to get myself out of the comfort zone of Minnesota, move down to Las Vegas, and coach some individuals. But more importantly, this gets me a shot at the title faster. I got to go through Junior Dos Santos, and then when I beat him, I get my title shot against Cain Velasquez. So it was a pretty simple decision for me.
Now, this is always the same with The Ultimate Fighter. The two coaches end up fighting. When is that fight going to be?
That fight's June 11th in Vancouver.
June 11th, okay.
Okay. Now, how much say do you have on the young men that you have as part of Team Lesnar? Do you get to hand pick them, or are they selected for you, and then you got to work with what you got?
They're selected. There's 14 guys that are selected, and then we had 1 hour to evaluate seven individuals and then another seven individuals. So we had 2 hours to evaluate the 14 up-and-coming fighters. And then from there, we had to pick. So it was a pretty quick evaluation of these guys. So if you didn't make the right picks, it could have been very crucial for
it's like
game.
It's like the draft in the NBA or something. I mean, these are the players that you're going the whole season with. Now, is it difficult? Is it any different for you to be dealing with welterweight guys versus what you're used to in the heavyweights?
No, fighting is fighting, you know. But I mean, these guys still needed to know, you know. They look to me for advice, and they look to me to carry them through to win this show. So I mean, they made it easy for me because they were eager to learn and they were hungry to win, and that's me.
One of your biggest tools is your size. You can literally just smother a guy. They don't have that. Was it more difficult to teach than it is to learn?
Well, I mean, it's not a just because I'm big, it doesn't mean that I don't understand the the logistics of things. You know, I've been wrestling since I was 5 years old. Some of these guys that came in had no wrestling background whatsoever.
Some of these guys that came in are about the size of you when you were wrestling at 5 years old.
Yeah. So you know, it was refreshing. You know, some of these guys they needed to learn a lot of different things, but more importantly, the true backbone of this sport is wrestling, and if you don't understand how to manipulate and move another your opponent, you're in trouble.
So there are a lot of MMA fighters who did not come from a wrestling background, and a lot of them really just work on their striking. You think they're at a disadvantage because they don't know the ground game as well?
In this day and age, in this era of the sport, you have to be well rounded. You can't rely on just one thing, and I don't care if it's just. Even though if it is wrestling, you got great wrestlers coming into the sport that aren't successful because they're relying on it too much, and so you gotta be able to be innovative. You have to be able to learn and adapt to new things in this sport.
This is the voice of Brock Lesnar on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about The Ultimate Fighter, which returns tonight for an all-new season on Spike at a new time, 9 p.m. Now, much has been made with some of the previous captains of the teams on Ultimate Fighter about mistakes that they've made in picking their assistant coaches. You look for somebody who can add to what you know, Brock, and then also maybe fill in some areas that you're not as strong in. Tell me how you went about finding your coaches this year.
Well, I just took my coaching staff, Marty Morgan, Eric Paulson, Greg Nelson, Rodrigo Comprito, and Luke Richardson. These are guys that have helped and made me into a champion in a short period of time. So I thought, you know, if they can do it for me, you know, we should be able to do it for these individuals as well.
Now, you're going to fight on June 11th. You're going to fight the other coach, Junior Dos Santos, who's no pushover, by the way. And
absolutely.
You have to win that fight, and then you get another shot at Cain Velasquez?
Yes.
And
yep.
How do you prepare mentally for different fighters like that? Are you all about Junior Dos Santos now, or are you kind of training in general for both down the road?
No, I'm training for Junior Dos Santos, because if I don't beat Junior Dos Santos, I don't fight down the road. So,
right,
I mean,
right.
Absolutely not. That's foolish to do, and I'm training to beat Junior Dos Santos on June 11th in Vancouver. That's my goal.
What's your interaction with Junior throughout the course of Ultimate Fighter? Are you guys on friendly terms? Is it grudging respect for one another, or can you each not stand the sight of the other man?
No, I've got you know, Junior's a stand-up guy, and we spend very little time with, you know, it was just in passing on the show, and there's some, obviously we're coaching against one another, but I don't spend a whole lot of time with him.
Well, yeah, the reason being asked that is it does seem like some guys we don't know if they're putting it on or not, but they genuinely hate and get right. In each other's faces a lot in the build-up to the fight. And that doesn't
and then work. There are other guys who look like they could go out for a beer and a pizza any night of the week, but still flip that switch when it comes to time to fight, too.
Yeah, you know, I don't have any animosity towards Junior other than the mere fact that he's standing in front of me before as my next opponent. And so, like, there's no, you know, I've got no animosity towards the man other than I'm looking to... beat him.
Knock his head off.
He just needs to get out of the way.
Right, exactly. All right, let me ask you one more thing, Mr. Lesnar. It's always great to catch up with you. We are very psyched about this new season of The Ultimate Fighter, and that is a competitive guy like you who, like you said, has been out there doing it since you were 5 years old. It must drive you crazy when you're introduced as the former UFC heavyweight champ. That just must bug you all the time that you're not the champ still.
You know, it does, but there's not many people that can say former champion either. You know, there's only a handful of people out there that have that title as well. But I definitely, that's what drives me, and that's why I chose to do the show. That's why I chose to fight Junior Dos Santos, because by doing so and winning, I get one step closer to becoming the UFC heavyweight champion again.
That's right. It's always interesting in your line of work to see, you know, no matter how much you accomplish, you always can be hungry for something else, something greater. And it looks like an awesome season. The Ultimate Fighter starts tonight, March 30th, 9:00 on Spike. Brock, good luck, man. I hope we get to talk to you again soon. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Bye. Now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 27 minutes after 8:00.
Hey! It's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
A little late, but all right.
Here we go.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt in, drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
All right, these are our favorite videos. You go to kevinandbean.com. You can see all of them right there. They're all linked. We have many that don't have audio, so we can't really highlight them in this segment. One is the guilty dog. That one's kind of funny. Oh,
the guilty dog.
Yeah. This is a dog that ate some cat treats, and he's got two dogs, and you can totally tell which one is ashamed.
This guy comes in and interrogates him as to who broke into the treats, and one dog just doesn't give it up. The other dog just falls apart under questioning. There's nothing he can do about it. He just caves.
There's an inexplicable one. I really, really can't explain 75 geese running down the street, but there are 75 geese... And they're running down a street.
It's like in a suburban neighborhood, too. It's not like in the woods coming out of a pond or anything like that. They're just hightailing it down the street in front of this dude's house.
And they're
it's
not
crazy.
All bonkers. They're in line. I don't know what's happening. Cranky Wombat, is that still up, Dave?
Yep.
Take it down. That's
no
stupid.
Way.
That's a stupid one. You put it up because it has a wombat in it.
Yes.
F you.
Cranky.
It's not Dave's cute corner with a cute with a K, corner with a K. It's the Internet Roundup,
no,
Dave.
No, but we were talking about wombats.
Right, but we were saying stop talking
awesome
about wombats. Take it down.
No.
Old Man Techno Dancer is funny as hell, too. You have to see that. The first one that we have audio from is the Wobble Girl. This is how you dance to dubstep. Now, this is a girl who claims she got a flu injection and that she couldn't walk properly. She could backwards, but not forward. She had this, her legs, like, turned to rubber. And then they found out that it was a fraud, like she was making it up. But somebody took the video of her legs turning to rubber and put it to dubstep music brilliantly. It's super funny. You see her like all crazy, wacky with her legs. It's awesome. I always get nervous when they ask for a moment of silence before a sporting event.
Oh, me too.
Because everyone's there. They're hyped. They're amped. They're ready to go. They want the sporting event. And then they take a moment of silence for Japan, and you just go, oh, this is going to go poorly because these are sports fans.
And the moments of silence, by the way, if you're going to do that, and they do it at every sporting event at some point throughout the year, do a moment of silence. Don't wait
15 seconds because now you're begging some a-hole who's already drunk in the crowd to start screaming something out. I guess that's what happened this time.
Yeah. It was at a soccer game, right? It was
international friendly.
I think it was the U.S. against Argentina, and they did a moment of silence, and there were two fans, you know, the two that ruined it for everyone.
USA!
All right, good. Good. Good to chant that during a moment of silence for Japan.
Yeah, exactly, right.
F you.
Very
worse. Much worse. All of a sudden, USA is not so bad.
Not appropriate.
A-holes.
And I can't believe you did that, Kevin.
I didn't do that. There is a series of lip reading videos online. It's bad lip reading, but what they do is they take the video. In this particular case, it was Rebecca Black, and it's the Friday song. They take it, and they totally throw out what the lyrics are, and they just watch the mouth, and then they write down what it looks like she's saying. And then they put the video up, and they put all of the words over it. And this is one of the funniest things I've ever seen, beginning to end, what it looks like she's saying.
I'm gonna get you with my pleasant Nazis, am I right? Game, fight, the gang is down to fight, yeah. Ever brought this chicken for us to eat? Game, fight,
gang fight. And you watch it, you go, I would swear that's what she's saying.
Because it lip syncs perfectly.
The Kelly family, I ain't going to pee-pee my bed tonight. It's quite a performance with a tiny little, how old is the lead singer? Maybe,
I don't know, nine maybe?
Six?
I don't know, she's super young.
Ain't gonna be me, mama.
Used to look. Mm-hmm. And it's odd because she's doing that while singing about pee-pee. Jimmy Kimmel, I saw this video on. This is a tornado in Hempfield. It's a dude with a, like, it looks like a cell phone or a video camera. And he's, you know, they tell everybody, get inside, there's a tornado. And he's the a-hole that goes outside and then starts filming it. Oh, look at that. Look, this is so awesome. But then at the end of it, he completely falls apart and starts screaming and running.
That's a tornado. Right now we're in Hempfield, Pennsylvania. March 23rd, 2011. Oh my God! It landed! Oh my God! Tornado! Tornado!
He drops the camera. You see the camera fall, and he just screams and runs.
How could he have been surprised that there was a tornado coming?
I can't answer
that
question.
That's why he went outside.
Here is the original song. What is this called? The Bang? No, the Ultimate Party Girl song.
Oh, crap.
What's the name of it?
Boom, boom,
shoot.
Boom, boom,
boom, boom. Whale or something like that.
This is... Boom, boom, boom. No one's about to say whale. Whale. They say boom, boom, boom. No one's about to say whale. Whale. They say boom, boom, boom.
All right, so that's the original. Now, there's a video up online. You have to watch all the way through because you won't believe it. This is the, quote, ultimate party girl. Mm-hmm. Now, she's got that video on, and she's videotaping herself with, like, a camera that's on the computer, and she's singing this song, sort of singing this song. Listen.
Come on. Let me hear you say whale. Whale. Boom, boom, boom. Let me hear you say whale. Whale. I say boom, boom, boom. Let everybody say whale. Whale. I say boom, boom, boom. Let me hear you say whale. Whale.
So she does that for a while, and then she starts going, come on, I can't hear you. And she puts her hand up to her ear, and there's no one in the room.
I love her.
I love her, too.
I want her to be my girlfriend.
Because she's literally the opposite of the ultimate party girl.
Lee-haw.
She's dressed like super, super conservatively. And she's boring as hell, but so boring that I think I want her to move in with me as well. So anyway, that's the ultimate party girl. And that is the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
All right, we have tickets for you. If you'd like to go to April Foolishness, we have tickets for you. We have to play a game. It's not going to be a fun game for me, but apparently for everyone else it is.
Yes, we are looking for contestants who would like to play one of our favorites called Can Kevin Repeat That? Can Kevin Repeat That? If you want to play, 1-800-520-1067. Up for grabs, fancy schmancy tickets for Kevin and Bean's third annual April Foolishness. Call now. Saturday night, we want you to join us at the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Show, Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City, California. Great lineup of comedy, including our friend Jimmy Kimmel and the house band Cleto and the Cletones from Jimmy Kimmel Live, Bill Burr, Steve-O, Doug Benson, the Axis of Awesome, Patton Oswalt, Ray Romano, Jim Jefferies. Hell of a lineup. We got tickets up close in the fancy schmancy section right now. If you want to play, Can Kevin Repeat That?
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
Nope.
Do you think Kevin can repeat?
Did we discover sometime back that Kevin stops paying attention to a sentence about 2 seconds in?
Yeah, yeah. He gets he gets the first three or four words locked in, and everything else is just... It's worse than Charlie Brown's school teacher.
It's worse than that. I actually only hear the last word that was said, so everything before that is gone.
So
sometimes he surprises us.
These guys find it so funny to say a sentence, and then I can't do it, and then you win.
Mr. Short-Term Memory. So how'd that food get in my mouth?
This is the way the game is played. Ralph is going to read a sentence. It's going to be about the axe on the bill for this Saturday night's concert. And all Kevin has to do is repeat that 5 seconds of whatever it is that Ralph said. That's it.
Sometimes it's like 7 seconds, Bean.
No, it's not.
You, the caller on the phone, you get to choose. You get to vote. You get to guess whether Kevin is going to be able to repeat that. It's as simple as that. And if you're right, you go into the drawing to win the tickets. Then Lisa will tell you who wins at the end of the game. So let's just take our contestants in order and start with Chuck on line one. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Yes, good morning, party people. I thought this game was going to be Motorboat Kevin.
Oh. You're so funny, Chuck. I wish.
Let's make a note of that and do that at another time. All right, so refresh my memory here, Ralph. Do we listen to you say it first and then Chuck?
I will read the statement for Chuck. He has to listen to it, and Kevin will not hear it. Then Chuck has to decide whether he believes Kevin will or will not be able to repeat this.
Fantastic.
Can I just
guess
no right now?
Let's wait and hear what the thing is.
Let me just give everybody one tip, and that's that I was up late watching the Kings game. So I got very little sleep.
Let's put Kevin in the isolation booth. Chuck, listen up. Here's Ralph with question number one.
All right, Chuck. Now, I'm starting off with an easy one. This is Kevin's friend. He knows Ray Romano, so he might have a chance. Here's the statement. Ray Romano has starred in several movies, including Welcome to Mooseport, Ice Age, and the sequel, Ice Age the Meltdown.
No, absolutely not.
All right.
Way the hell no, by the way. Way the hell. Oh, hi, Kevin. I didn't know you were back. Sorry.
I heard you say way the hell. What were you talking about?
All right.
Thanks for asking. The Kings won 2-0.
Here's Ralph, and then we won't tell you what Chuck says until afterwards, but listen up. Can Kevin repeat this?
Kevin, can you repeat this? Ray Romano has starred in several movies, including Welcome to Mooseport, Ice Age, and the sequel, Ice Age the Meltdown.
Ray Romano has starred in several movies, including Welcome to Mooseport. Shut up, Bean.
I'm just stunned so far, that's all.
And Ice Age... The Revenge?
So close. And the sequel, Ice Age the Meltdown. Oh my God, that was so close. But Chuck was smart. He said no. Oh. Kevin would not be able to repeat that, so he is in the drawing. Wow. How about you, Ralph? Were you terrified?
I thought we were going to get burned there.
Yeah. That was insane.
Thank
Kevin,
God,
that
Ice
was
Age
amazing.
The Revenge came to save us.
All right, Jeff, line two. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How you doing, Lisa May?
Good.
Okay. All right, we say goodbye to Kevin. Listen up. Here's Ralph with the statement.
Zombie Spaceship Wasteland is the name of Patton Oswalt's first book and was released in January 2011.
Oh, hell no. And I'm willing to bet if he wasn't in the isolation booth, he still wouldn't get it right.
All right. In other words, no matter how many times he hears it. Gotcha. All right, Kevin, you ready to let's bring Kevin back in? You ready to listen up?
Sure.
Good luck.
This is fun.
Zombie Spaceship Wasteland is the name of Patton Oswalt's first book and was released in January 2011.
Zombie Space Wasteland.
Wait, what? Excuse me?
Zombie Space Wasteland.
And Buzz.
Spaceship.
Zombie Spaceship Wasteland.
Jeff said no. Jeff was right. He is in the drawing to win the tickets. Congratulations, Jeff. Let's go Susan. Let's give a lady a chance here on line four. Susan, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. You ready to play?
Yes, I'm ready to play.
Listen up.
Jordan, Lee, and Benny are the three members of the Australian musical comedy act, The Axis of Awesome.
Gosh, I could repeat that, but I'm a lot smarter than Kevin sometimes. All right. So I'm going to say no, he can't do it.
You say no. All right, let's bring Kevin back in from...
I'll say no.
Okay, now you're mocking. Now you're basically mocking Kevin.
Well, she's hedging her bet. She's not sure how she feels about it.
Okay.
All right, Kevin, listen up. Mm-hmm.
Jordan, Lee, and Benny are the three members of the Australian musical comedy act, The Axis of Awesome.
Jordan, Lee, and Benny are the members of the Australian...
Oh.
Shut up! Musical act.
Okay.
The Axis of Awesome.
Oh.
It was right? Comedy act, wasn't it, Ralph?
Yeah, musical comedy act.
What did she say?
Well, you said musical act.
Yeah, you were off. You were off by a couple of words.
I'm
going
to have to say no.
She said no.
She said no. You could not repeat.
Well, then why is she yelling?
I don't know. Why won't she shut up? I have no idea.
Squealing.
But she qualified. So
yes, she qualified.
All right.
But she fails as a human.
Okay.
All right. Now,
do we have to put her in the drawing?
I'm afraid so. But Lisa, make sure she doesn't win. Look, technically, we're completely out of time. We're way late.
Too bad.
This is so much fun. Who wants to keep going?
I do.
Sure, let's continue.
Let's do at least one more for fun. Come on. Let's try Jonathan, line 5. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
I could do this till 10 a.m., and I would love it every single time. All right. Kevin is gone. Here's Ralph.
Doug Benson once hosted High Times Magazine's 6th Annual Stony Awards.
That one's kind of short.
That's what she said.
I'm gonna say yes.
Oh, interesting. Going against the grain here. All right, forgetting all previous evidence, you're going with yes. All right, let's welcome Kevin back in from the isolation booth. Kevin, this is your last chance to redeem yourself today. Listen up. Here's Ralph.
Doug Benson once hosted High Times Magazine's 6th Annual Stony Awards.
Doug Benson once hosted High Times Magazine's 6th Annual Stoner Awards.
Oh, damn it.
What? That was right.
No, it was the Stony Awards, but that's so close.
For me, that's really
Let's give it to him. Let's give
let's
it to
give him.
Him
that one. Let's give him that one. And let's give it to Jonathan because he said yes. Jonathan said yes, you would do it.
What a dumb vote that was.
All right, so we got Chuck, we got Jeff, we got Susan, we got Jonathan all in the running here for Foolishness tickets for this Saturday night. Lisa, who's our winner?
Our winner is Jeff.
Jeff.
Yay!
All right. Jeff, congratulations.
Thank you very much, guys.
You will be right up front. Thank you for playing the world's worst game, and hopefully the very last time we play, Kevin repeat this.
Nope.
Do you really think Kevin can repeat this? No, I didn't think so, neither do I.
All right, try this. Time for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Nope.
Come on.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
That was great.
That was a good time.
Bean said off the air. Come on, Kevin. That's a great game, isn't it?
It really is a good game.
It's so fun. It's so fun.
And you did pretty well. But you're talking to me like I'm a tard. You did pretty well.
You put your socks and shoes on by yourself this morning, Kevin.
The only thing you're not doing is patting me on the head.
We're so proud of you. I feel like Olivia fed herself this week. We're so pleased, Kevin. I couldn't be prouder of you. It's like you put a num-num right in your mouth.
All right, let's do the show.
Our friend
Would you like
Psycho,
a num-num in your mouth?
Psycho Mike was voted off Dancing with the Stars last night. We will talk to him personally coming up in the next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Find out what it was like for his perspective. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
So we all know Charlie Sheen winning, duh. Warlock, assassin, duh.
Blah, blah,
winning.
Blah.
He's winning, right? He's winning because he started this 21-city comedy tour.
Right.
And he has been selling out venues left and right. Winning, right? Winning.
Couldn't be more popular.
That's what they tell us.
It would be winning if it were true.
None of it's true.
Well, here's the thing. There are plenty of tickets to be had. Plenty of tickets to be found.
Right.
Because of the scumbag scalpers who thought they were going to make a mint off of buying up all the tickets to his shows.
I love that.
Turns out, now they have to sell them for less than face value in order to try to recoup some of their money. The first show kicks off this Saturday in Detroit. Okay? Yes. 28% of the tickets are unsold.
Hmm.
So that's more than a quarter of
that
theater.
So they sold out when it went on sale, but now they're all being offered for resale on StubHub and places like that, right?
Yes. And that's the best sold of all the venues so far.
Wow. Wow.
So as the show progresses across the country, the bulk of the inventory looks like will remain either unsold or unfilled.
It's over.
There are very few actors you would pay to go watch on stage not doing words that are written for them by somebody else. It's not like he's in a play. He's just coming out on stage and talking. Who wants to see that?
You know what is especially available? You know what they have almost all availability for?
What?
The special VIP meet and greet packages where you get to meet Charlie Sheen after the show. Lots of those available for discount, actually. You can get it for cheap.
I think America, finally, America agrees with us, which is we've heard it. Yeah. Thanks. Let's move on.
Yeah, there's nothing he could possibly do that would be interesting for 90 minutes.
I don't think so.
He's not going to sing and dance.
Right.
So
maybe he'll just bring his dog out on stage and not feed it
for an hour and a half.
So we'll keep you posted on that. Good news for fans of the FX cable show Justified. You guys watching Justified with Timothy Olyphant?
Looks good. Never had
Western
time.
Marshall.
Recorded most of them. Have never watched one.
Huh.
Should I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's been Justified for... It's been renewed for a third season, by the way.
Right.
So this is the second season. It's currently... And still six episodes left, which airs on Wednesday night. So that's good news for Justified fans. Bad news for Lights Out fans. If you're like me and you watch Lights Out on the FX channel, that show has been canceled. Will not be returning for a second season.
Was that a boxing show?
Yeah.
I never saw that.
Who's going to find out if Lights Leary defeats Death Row Reynolds or not to get his title back?
They're not doing it in public? They're not fighting? They're not doing it anywhere where you can see it?
Well, it's not a real fight. It's a fictional series about a fictional boxer.
Oh, I didn't even know
then
that.
I don't care.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't. I thought it was a boxing reality show.
No, it's a drama series about a former heavyweight champ.
Oh, okay.
You know it's fictional because he's white.
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course.
White and American, so you know it was fictional. Glee, by the way, in the news. This is going to make Dave Grohl very unhappy. There's going to be a special 90-minute Glee episode on April the 26th. The king-sized Glee episode.
Is it the season finale or something?
I don't know. Huh. But I do know it'll be largely based, at least some of the music, will be Lady Gaga music. They do Lady Gaga a lot on that show.
Do they?
Born This Way, apparently, is going to be one of the big production numbers. They're going to add two extra musical numbers for the 90-minute Glee special episode.
Gives me a lot more TV to not watch.
How dare you, sir? Are you just not watching the Glee at all?
It was the best decision I made. Well, the show was terrible this year, and then I just...
It got better.
If it did, I don't know that, because I haven't watched since the Super Bowl, and I have not missed it a bit. Hey, Kevin, you're off too, right?
Yeah, although people in my house watch, so I have seen some of the other ones, and they are better than the Super Bowl one. Super Bowl one was an all-time low.
They've gotten back more towards the what's going on at the high school and getting ready for the regionals and that kind of stuff. So
the only thing I might miss is Santana and Brittany. They still got their lesbian love going? Is that happening?
Oh, more so than ever.
Because that may be the one thing that might draw me back into the Glee world.
Actually, it's kind of unrequited now because Santana admit that she was actually in love with Brittany. It was beyond just a experimental flirtation. But Brittany is dating Wheels, so she won't see her anymore. It's very confusing, very heartbreaking.
Does he go by Wheels?
He does in my house. Yo, Wheels, what's up? Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Warren Beatty is 74 years old today. Kevin, have you ever seen a Warren Beatty film?
I don't know. I don't
ever.
Can't think of one.
He has made some of the best films of the past 30 years.
Did he do one about Vegas in the old days?
Bugsy, but the guy who invented Vegas.
I think I saw that one.
All right, there we go. I knew I had faith in you.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, if we're playing Has Kevin Seen It, I'm going to say you probably saw Bullworth, too, when that was out, where he played the rapper.
The rapping politician?
Rapping politician who's honest, so everybody votes for him. One. Okay.
I think I would remember that one.
How about Bonnie
and
Clyde? You've seen Bonnie and Clyde.
No.
Right? How about Red?
Oh, he hasn't seen any of the old ones.
Reds
now.
I walked out on, remember?
That's right. Funny, that a 3-hour movie about communism and workers' rights didn't hold Kevin's attention.
Oh, it was boring.
It's hard to
How believe. About Dick Tracy? Did you see
Dick
that?
Tracy? I may have seen that one. Yeah.
That's cartoonish.
Like Yeah. Eric Clapton, 66 years old today.
Killed a dude. Kevin was on vacation for that. Kevin missed
it.
Eric Clapton.
Doing his laundry.
He knifed a drifter. Come on.
Paul Reiser's 54. MC Hammer is 48 years old. Ian Ziering is 47. Piers Morgan of CNN and America's Got Talent is 46. Celine Dion is 43. And Norah Jones celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm hearing an awful lot of talk about hockey these days. Forgetting the fact that the baseball season starts tomorrow.
All right, but beginning of baseball is not the same as hockey playoffs.
Yeah, there is something to be said for
the playoffs of baseball is not the same as hockey playoffs.
Well, I agree too, but I'm just saying, we're getting into that ugly time of year where the battle lines are drawn.
I agree. When baseball arrives, it is an ugly, ugly time
of
year.
When you realize how ignorant some people are to be missing the joys of the best sport ever, that's what I'm talking about.
At least the beginning of baseball is good because hockey and basketball are still going on.
In the playoffs.
The worst part is when you get to the summer and it's just baseball.
NBA Finals end, hockey ends, and now you've just got baseball. No football. And by the way, no football this fall, probably.
Oh, that's why suicide rates just skyrocket at that time of year.
How about a little less being negative Nellies over there, and a little more tuning in tomorrow night to see the Dodgers and the Giants kick off the new season? That's going to be awesome.
Then we'll be positive Nellies. Then all the Nellies will be watching.
Unless they go to blows, which those two teams might, then I'm in.
They might. That's true.
Then I'm in.
All right. Time for a final look at the show. Biz Beat. Ralph Garman joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. What's going on?
New Beastie Boys music in the news this morning.
New who?
Beastie Boys.
Wow. No yay, just the beginning of the yay?
Just a yeah.
Just a yeah. Make Some Noise is the name of the new track off their new album, Hot Sauce Committee Part 1, which will be released on, it doesn't say here when the CD's coming out, but I know the single's being released as a vinyl single on Record Store Day.
Okay.
So both remaining record stores in the country will celebrate their special day on April the 16th.
If you that's the fastest way to get something right into the hands of your fans, Ralph, is to release it on vinyl. Come on.
Yes, right to record stores.
Pete,
right.
Can you make that into a digital copy and send it to me? Please?
You can hear the song on YouTube. You can check it out. It's called, again, Make Some Noise, and here's some new Beastie Boys music.
Somebody should get fired over that microphone quality.
They
you know?
Should really.
You know what I mean? They can't get a microphone.
Upgrade
that's
the
clear.
Studio a little
can't
bit.
They run that through a filter.
Come on.
I like it. I love the Beastie Boys. It sounds like the Beastie Boys doing the Humpty Dance, doesn't it?
Yeah, which I love. I'd like them to cover that.
I like the Beasties. I like their sound, and this sounds like the Beasties.
I love it. Can't wait.
Not bad for old Jews. That's all I got to say.
That's right. That's the name of the album, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
It's better than Modest Yahoo, if that's the category.
Rob Lowe is spilling some secrets from back in his partying heyday. Rob Lowe, of course, was a legendary member of the Brat Pack. Band of young, beautiful actors in the 80s who did a bunch of movies together and used to party together and bang each other and hang out and have a good time. Well, one of those Brat Packers was Charlie Sheen. And Rob says he and Charlie Sheen would often compete in the late 80s about who could party harder and then show up the next day and perform on the set. Charlie always won the real-life game of career roulette, says Rob, and he has since given up trying to compete in that realm. He also says he worked with Tom Cruise when he was very young. They were supposed to share a room together on a set on location. And he said he remembers Tom going nuts and complaining to his agent that he had to share a room with Rob Lowe. So the agent got Tom moved into his own room. Couldn't take the pressure, I guess. He also says Tom
Cruise... tempting. Rob Lowe's so pretty.
Tom Cruise was... he describes him as having bloodless focus. He said he was just like a shark. He knew where he was going. He was super ambitious. He was going to be a star, and nothing was going to get in his way.
Well,
so I thought that
happened.
Was pretty cool, and he was right. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I've got some more passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Hannah. This movie looks great. Action-adventure film with Eric Bana, Kate Blanchett, and that beautiful young actress who, if I could pronounce her name, I would tell you who she is, but she was in Lovely Bones, so look it up yourself. Some honked-up name, but she's good. It's going to happen at the Arclight Theater in Hollywood on Thursday, April the 7th, in theaters on Friday the 8th. Is when the movie opens wide. But you'll be able to see it before anybody else if you're one of the next three lucky callers at 1-800-520-1067. First three callers to get through at that number. We'll get a pair of passes for the special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Hannah on April the 7th. Today's celebrity birthdays. Warren Beatty is 74 years old today. Musician Eric Clapton celebrates his 66th birthday. Actor Paul Reiser, who's got a new TV series in the works, is 54. MC Hammer celebrates his 48th birthday. Ian Ziering from Beverly Hills 90210 is 47 years old. Piers Morgan, new host of that show that used to be Larry King's on CNN, also one of the judges of America's Got Talent, is 46. Speaking of judges, did you hear that Jessica Simpson may be one of the judges of The X Factor?
Awesome.
Oh, no.
What?
No.
I know.
Kevin, it'd be like having Paul Abdul back.
Are you kidding?
We get to hear just... just dumb things being said over and over again every week would make
come
it worth
on.
Watching.
That would
but
be great.
She's so dumb, you feel dumber every time you waste time watching
not
her.
Not me.
I feel smarter
I
when
don't
I watch
feel
her.
Dumber.
Even Kevin feels smarter
feel
when he
smarter.
Watches her. We should play.
Okay.
Can Jessica repeat this?
I'm
play
in.
A new game. See if she can repeat simple sentences.
I would love that.
Celine Dion's 43 years old today, and singer Nora Jones celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program. We have a listener who has photographic proof that aliens exist.
Oh, have you seen these pictures, Ralph?
I have not seen them yet, no.
Undeniable.
Undeniable.
I don't know how anybody can look at these pictures and not say yes. E.T. has been in his driveway.
Wow.
So we're going to talk to him tomorrow. Also,
and we'll post those first thing in the morning, too, so you can actually see the evidence.
Also, I don't know if you heard, but Justin Bieber's hair that he got cut in a haircut is doing a mall tour.
Yeah, it's doing personal appearances.
His hair. Just his hair. And it's got security guards, and they're going around from mall to mall.
I think people would enjoy that more than seeing Justin Bieber in concert,
That could be.
Can you hire the hair if you're having a happy hour at your Mexican restaurant and the hair come by from like 4 to 6?
I don't know the rules.
You don't want hair in your margarita.
You do if it's Justin's.
That's true.
We have Axis of Awesome also in studio. Oh, which is love them.
One of the bands that is going to, they're a band, but they're playing on April Foolish this Saturday night. And we have tickets for you right up front in the fancy schmancy section tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.